Morning, councilors.
Morning.
Notice of meeting of council, Tuesday, 21st of July, to councilors, in accordance with local government meeting procedures regulations 2025. Notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the council chamber, Hamilton, on Tuesday, 21st of July, 2026, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025 Part 2, Vision 1, a notice of the meeting was published on the council website on the 10th of April 2026, the general manager's certification pursuant to Section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify, with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of council in this agenda, that A, such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated at Bothwell on the 16th day of July 2026 by Stephen Maggie, the General Manager. Legislation, legislative and standards compliance. The meeting commenced at 9 on the dot. Audio recording. I will cut that back short. You all know that by now. You should know it by heart, I reckon. The mayor advises the meeting and members of the public of council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. 1.2, acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as their traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land on which we gather today, and acknowledge and pay respect to elders past, present and future. 1.3 is the conduct of the meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while present at council's workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace and is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language and comments, and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Present is Mayor, Deputy Mayor, All Right, Councillor Miller, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Trivet, Councillor Hall, General Manager Stephen Maggie, and Executive Officer Katrina Vandale. Any apologies? None at the moment. 1.7, consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. May I have a mover, please?
Don't have any.
We do, because that's my side. Councillor Cassidy, and who was the seconder? Councillor Miller. Any comments on that, Councillor Cassidy?
No.
Councillor Miller?
No.
Councillors? Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you. 1.8, declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2 Regulation 10 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the chairperson of a meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest or conflict of interest in any item on the agenda. Do I have any? No? Not at all. That is good. 1.9 is minutes, 1.9.1 confirmation ordinary meeting of the minutes of the 16th of June. I have a mover, Councillor Honour, a seconder, Councillor Trivett. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Trivett?
No.
Councillor Laws? Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That's carried, thank you. 1.9.2, business advising. Recommendation that the information be received, excuse me. Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Meacham?
No.
Councillor Laws? Okay, that's carried. Okie dokie.
Okay.
1.10, notification council workshops held.
I need a motion for that one. I think I've missed it.
For which one? This one?
The workshop.
Yeah.
Information there is there.
Councillor Honour, Councillor Hall.
Thank you.
any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No.
Councillor Laws? Okay. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That's carried. Morning, Damien.
Morning, all.
1.10.1, future workshops. The purpose of the report is for councillors to note the council workshop dates. The proposed next workshop will be held on the 4th of August at the Bothwell Council Chambers, commencing at 9 a.m. 1.11, notice of motion. The purpose under Regulation 19 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2025, relating to motions on notice, it states the following. A councillor may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting give written notice of a motion, together with supporting information and reason for the inclusion of the motion on the next meeting. 1.11.1. Notice of motion, Councillor Archer and Councillor Archer's not here.
No, I move that we defer that until Councillor Archer's in attendance, because he has particular knowledge that I certainly don't have in relation to that motion. So can we consider that after Councillor Archer?
He may not show up until tomorrow.
Is present? Sorry?
He may not show up until tomorrow.
No, well, he phoned me and said he's held up. He was just leaving Hamilton at about 10 to 9. Sorry, he's leaving Bothwell about 10 to 9. It's a significant motion, please.
Yes.
Can we defer until he's in until he's present?
I would have to have someone defer it for 9.
Well, I move to defer it. Is that okay?
Councillor, motion removed. We have a second up.
Okay, Miller. All righty. So, Councillor Meacham's moving deferral?
Yes, moving deferral until Councillor Archer is present. As I say, he's the one who has the knowledge in relation to Bothwell circumstances in particular.
So that would be...
He's the mover.
Second to that too, wouldn't I?
What's that?
The Councillor Meacham's moved it.
Yeah, there's a second. Councillor Miller's seconded it.
Okay. Those in favour of the deferral, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against the deferral?
Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yes. Thank you, David. Point 11.2. Councillor Miller has a motion. Councillor Cassidy seconded. All righty, Councillor Miller, yours.
Okay, I'll start by saying many around the table think that I'm moving this as a last gasp, as I will not be standing for the next elections. That view could not be further from the truth. I'm passionate about the survival of the Central Highlands and have suggested this motion to put to rest any change of a disputed election result, sometimes something none of us want. The suggested motion does nothing more than ensure during the election phase you are acting diligently and ensuring we are all seen transparent and not allowing any candidate the opportunity to muddy the water with any suggestion that one councillor was given an unfair advantage. Now, this particular motion has been set before earlier on in the year to the council, and by Councillor Meacham, and it was put forward and it was carried 6-3. However, it seems that it's never been activated on. I've had a look at the Local Government Code of Conduct Order 24, Part 4, 1, 2 and 3, that being 1. A councillor must use council resources appropriately in the course of the council's public duties. 2. A councillor must not use council resources for private purposes except as provided by council policies and procedure. 3. A councillor must not allow the misuse of council resources by another person or body. With the way that the mayor's column is being used at the moment, with I and me, and very little acknowledgement to the whole council, I believe she's using the council resources as a way of self-promoting, especially in times of elections. This is not, as I said, this is not the first time it's come through. I'm stating that if we allow this motion to fail, then we're all in breach of the Local Government Code of Conduct, Order 24, Item 3. So I want you to think carefully before you vote on it. Make sure that you are aware that there are breaches being made, and you cannot be seen as misusing, allowing this motion to fail because of the breach. That's it.
Councillor Cassidy's a seconder, but just the question, does that sound like a breach, General Manager?
Well, the thing being is that some of the community could see it as a breach, some councils could see it as a breach. I know your commentary will be around the basis of that you are the chief spokesperson, but the chief spokesperson is the person that speaks to the Mercury on specific of those specific.
Did you want to second the motion, Stephen?
To clarify, but thanks, Councillor Cassidy. No, I didn't second the motion.
Okay. Well, we'll go back. Thank you for that. We'll go back to the seconder, Councillor Cassidy.
Okay. So I would like to say I believe there's been a legal precedent set. You've been mayor since 2016, right? I had this book actually advertised in the Highland Digest, my book. And God, I'm a counselor. I mean, is that shameless? Is that shameless self-promotion as a counselor? Or am I, just pointing out that I wrote this book? So I believe there's legal precedent here. Again, the mayor has been...
if you're quoting legal
Do
you have the
point of order?
Can I just explain?
Sir.
If you are going to quote a legal precedent, you need to have the paperwork in front of you that proves that point.
Let's take it to the tribunal, okay, and let's see what they say. She's been the mayor since 2016, all right? And she has had a mayor's column in there since 2016. All right, I ran against the mayor in 2016 for the position of mayor. I never argued or quibbled about the mayor's column, thinking that's an unfair advantage. Maybe I'm stupid. I don't know. The voters decided who they want, who they preferred. And it's clearly the mayor. Okay? Now then, I want to point out in 2025, we had a state election. And the mayor, she ran as an independent for parliament. And all that time, from 2016 up until that point, she had a mayor's column. But it never influenced the outcome of the elections. I seem to recall instead of 2,500 votes, you got 383 or some number like that. So it had obviously no bearing upon her election results. So I don't personally feel intimidated or inferior or weakened by the mayor's column. And I don't think anybody else should. Further, there's other mayors throughout Tasmania, probably throughout Australia, who publish a monthly column. So maybe we should take every one of those mayors to the tribunal. Let's file a code of conduct against all 29 mayors here in Tasmania and all mayors throughout Australia who publish a monthly mayor's column and try to test to see if it's shameless self-promotion. It is not. It's just a mayor's column. She's informing the public. And, you know, while she may have I's and me's in there, there's some statements in there that she couldn't use any other context. Okay? Now, I don't feel that she's done anything wrong. Two previous general managers to her and other counselors before, some of you are sitting around the table here, they had nothing to say about it. Kim Hossack had nothing to say about it. Lynn Annals had nothing to say about it. So why is it a problem recently?
Thanks, Councillor.
I'm voting against it, by the way. So take me on.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Machen.
Councillor Miller has spelled out very well ahead of me the provisions of the Local Government Code of Conduct Order 2024. I'd reiterate in particular part 3 of that a councillor must not allow the misuse of council resources by another person or a body. Then consider this. Council annually supports the production of the Highland Digest with a $15,000 grant, effectively making the digest a council resource. For any councillor wavering on whether or not to support this motion, I ask please consider what the Local Government Act or that code of conduct prescribes. So in February we passed a motion as follows, that media outlets fully or partly funded by council must not be used to promote the interests of individual elected members. This motion recognises self-promotion content that individual council members have paid for are the appropriate means for such promotion. I now note that at least two of my colleagues do quite properly pay for modest levels of advertising in the digest. It's affordable, so they should. Since we passed that motion in February, the mayor has, in her monthly column, and it's now more like 3 pages, used the term I 56 times, me 51 times, and we just 21 times. Little wonder then that as a local member, a local resident has asked of me, does anyone else other than the mayor do any work at all? Any mayor's rights and responsibilities are spelled out in the Act. Beyond that, in the words of our legal counsel, David Morris, a mayor's role is the one of first among equals. As equals, we need to take this matter seriously. What I advocate is that we enable the general manager and his staff to produce, instead of mayor's column, a Highlands Council report for publication in the digest. I'm not seeking that the report identifies any one of us as councillors. So the report would refer to us simply as Council Determined X or Y. Completely non-partisan. Much more significantly, we could and we should be highlighting the work of professional staff and the major work that they are doing with economic and community development, and in the case of the work staff, innovations that they are making. There's good stories out there to be told, and on some developments we really need to keep our communities better informed. Councillor Shelley, when we debated this back in February, you related how much you enjoyed reading the
This is not a conversation to other councillors, sorry.
Mm. Well, okay, I'll address it.
Put your point forward.
My point is this. I think you, Councillor Shelley, with respect, I think you were then missing the point. The issue isn't what we enjoy, not then and not now.
That is not up to you to say that to another councillor. You respect.
Any debate, after debate, and before we vote, I again commend that councillors note the Local Government Code of Conduct Order 2024 Part 4, and most crucially Part 3 of that, a councillor must not allow the misuse of council resources by another person or a body. We all carry that responsibility. Please think about it.
So with your accusations, councillor, you need to give me proof of me making of these accusations, councillor. So I need proof of that, number one. Number two, I was approached by the Highlands Digest to please write a column, and that goes back in 2016. And it's been a very important one to let people know what's happening with council business, blah, blah, and continued on. When I'm speaking, if I'm saying I said this, I have no other vocabulary to use if it's me speaking. So just keep in mind where you're going with this one, because I believe it's just a malicious attack from you and Councillor Miller. But any other councillors like
there was not malice involved. This is about due process.
You've had your say.
Yes, but you're using the process to your own advantage, Mayor.
Any other? Do you need me to stop during this meeting and have a chat to you?
I'll cheerfully have a chat, because on other fronts I do have issues.
We're sending into a whole lot of city council situation.
Yes, exactly.
Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, you've both spoken.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Any other councillors wish to speak? Councillor Honor.
I know Ted Hopwood. It's been going on now for 10 years. It's never been a problem at any other election time, and I don't see that it is a problem now.
Thank you. Any other councillor? Councillor Trivett.
I'm with you, Julie, on that, and I don't appreciate my name being brought forward. That is my personal opinion, and I will stick to that. So.
Thank you, councillor. Any other councillors?
It was in recorded session.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go back to Councillor Miller to close.
Okay. As I said before, February of this year, Councillor Meacham's motion was passed, and it hasn't been adhered to. I believe that the Mayor's column should be replaced by a councillor's column involving all councillors and staff, because the staff do a very good job here. I've been asked by, like Councillor Meacham, I've been asked by many residents, what do the rest of the councillors do?
That in writing, is it?
I can get it in writing if you wish.
Okay, just a question.
It's not that you as mayor write the column, but it's what should be included, as in the councillors and the staff should also have their, especially the staff, have their say. What I'm doing, and I object I really object to the fact that you insinuated that it was malicious in my part, and it is not. I've read the local government code of conduct, and I am not happy about the way that this has been going on. So with the column, I'm not asking you to stop the column. I'm asking you to make sure that when you do the column, that it is not in breach of the local government code of especially item number three, and I, as David said, I am asking you to think about it and make sure that you understand that if you believe that it's in it contravenes that you in part number three, that you are not in breach of it as well by failing to put it through. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, and there's a local government
act for anyone. The debate's closed.
Yeah, that's just for anyone that wants to read that. Debate's closed. Okay, so the motion by Councillor Miller was seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour of that motion, please raise your hands because I will record your names. Those in favour of the motion is Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer and Meacham. Those against that motion, please raise your hands. Councillor Honour, Cassidy, Trivett, Hall and Trivett. So it's lost. Thank you. All right.
No, we'll go back to number.
Have you taken the funder?
No,
I just wanted to go back to 11.1 since Anthony's here.
Oh, okay. Yes. Move the agenda back.
Yeah.
Okay, we move the agenda back to
1.11.1.
So, did you move that, Councillor Cassidy?
Move
back.
We're now going to debate it.
So do we need to move for this? We're talking to Dan. Do we need to move it?
Well, you can if you want to, but you know, quite clearly we deferred it until Councillor Archer attended, and Councillor Archer has now attended.
So we can go back with that?
Yeah, just go and debate it.
Alright, we can go back with that. Okay. Alrighty, Councillor Cassidy.
No, go off second now.
Hang on, it was put up, if you read the motion, it was put by Anthony and myself.
That's right, there's a mover there, but the seconder is blank. So
yeah, we'll look at the next page.
It was moved by Councillor Meacham, seconded by Councillor Miller. That motion?
11.
No. That's to defer.
That was to defer?
Yeah.
That was for the deferment.
Yeah. All right.
I've only just realised that it's been recorded as me as the mover. In fact, I want to defer to Councillor Archer simply because he has the depth of knowledge in relation to. Is this possible, Steve?
We already deferred it.
Second reading of defer. I want to move it to Councillor Archer as the mover.
No, you can't.
I can't. Okay, then I move. Okay.
You have moved it, and it was seconded by Councillor Miller. That was deferred. Yeah.
We're now talking about the motion.
All right, so it was moved by Councillor Meacham, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. We're on track. All righty, so we're Councillor Meacham.
Okay, this is fair, Scott, because I feel like I don't know the bottling of things, and when I said defer, I mean, Councillor Archer as the mover, but that's fine, I'll do what I can. This is a very significant issue, and we are facing a dramatic shortage of ambulance volunteers, most particularly in Bothwell, to the point that the whole ambulance service is threatened there. It's also an issue up in the Central Plateau. We're operating, I think, on the basis of just two volunteers. This is about providing funds and vehicles for the delivery of accredited first aid and CPR. And you note there, because later in this meeting we are dealing with a motion for delivery of other first aid instruction up on the Central Plateau, and that's at a different level. That's at the basic level of first aid. So that's an important distinction. Now, my interest in this is, as I say, in terms of enabling the continuation of the ambulance service in the Bothwell area, but it does need strengthening in other areas such as Bronte, Dermot Bridge and the Central Plateau. My second interest is about giving a leg up to locals, because this is expensive training and development. Giving a leg up to the locals who might go on to become workers on the St Patrick's Plains and Weasel Plains and Cellar Hills developments. And for many of them, we're looking at, you know, $300 plus probably if they went privately after the same qualification. So it's a very worthy qualification. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. The seconder is Councillor Cassidy.
Madam Mayor, I think this is a great, you know, first aid training is a great, CPR training is great. I have attended two courses, one at the Rec Grounds and then another one that was held at Ooze. That's been some time ago. I believe that Tracy Torelli had put that on. And I understand that she was supposed to be putting on another course. I haven't heard anything in a little while about that. And I was thinking that perhaps we should defer this until we can get Tracy Torelli in here to talk to council about the plans for the first aid course. I believe that as many people who can be qualified as possible in the municipality is a very good thing. Perhaps if we had, again, at the Ooze District School, it's a very good use of that facility there, where I had attended previously. That would give an opportunity to for folks who live in Bronte or Maena or Bothwell or Gretna to or elsewhere to attend. And perhaps so we could contact St. John's or whoever, or have Tracy Torelli do that. So my recommendation would be to hold this thought, just defer it until we can get Tracy in here to discuss it. And that's it.
Sorry, did I miss? Did you mean St. John's across the board, or are we talking about?
Not necessarily, ma'am. I'm just uneasy. Whoever can provide the
speakers
proper training. Yeah.
And did you say Hatch? No, you didn't say Hatch, but they'd be good.
Yeah.
Tracy Torelli's Taz, Primary Hill.
Yeah.
Who did we have to speak? Councillor Hall and Archer. Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mayor. This is to do with the recruitment. This one here is to do with the recruitment of ambulance volunteers. One, this is a question. Have we got any people put their hand up? And two, I thought that we advertised in the digest that we were going to, anybody that was going to become or wanted to become a volunteer ambulance officer in the Central Highlands, we were going to float all their costs. That was a full page ad in the digest. Am I not correct?
It was an ad placing. We had one person interested.
That's just where I'm at with it. I just thought that this had already been spoke about, that we were going to cover the costs, cover the travel, cover their training, the training and all those kinds of things. Thank you.
Councillor Archer, then. All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how conflicted I am in terms of this motion. To clear an interest, I was involved in the first intake of the volunteer ambulance at Bothwell from some time, and my son has just retired as a volunteer because the station has closed. So I feel some conflict that my son's involved in it, but I have done a lot of homework in regard to trying to get the ambulance service up and running and chasing again, just to see what changes had occurred. How does the ambulance actually work these days compared to many years ago when my involvement was there? And what we would used to do traditionally is we would often take patients right through the Hobart. My son tells me in the last 3 years, they haven't taken a single patient right through. They've been met some of the way, generally halfway perhaps. So what we're all aware that there's this golden hour in healthcare where it's really essential that people get that really effective first aid in that golden hour. What this service is doing is allow us to start that primary care. So as soon as an ambulance volunteer turns up, bingo, you've got your first observations. So those really crucial measures in terms of heart rate, in terms of pulse, in terms of breathing, respirations, all the really crucial things, they're done first up. And they are continued as part of the transfer and changeover. But we're not seeing volunteers now. I was concerned that we were going to saddle people with getting ramped at Hobart. My son tells me that hasn't happened in 3 years with the services it is now. There's a very good backup with paramedics, but they do provide that first half hour care generally a bit longer. So again, that's useful background knowledge to us all, because most of us would be like me thinking, gosh, I don't really want to have someone ramped. That's not really what we would expect of our volunteers. And in terms of trying to attract more volunteers, I've tossed the idea around with me and my colleagues around the table about how we can go about doing that. I think the first aid course is a terrific suggestion, because you're picking up the people who, first of all, are interested. I think the expression of interest suggestion that people have made is a really good one. We should just see if there are people interested in doing these first aid courses, perhaps before we promote them too much. But I'm supportive of the motion. Let's get it underway. Let's not kick it down the track and wait for further delays. Let's get this started. I think it's a really good initiative to encourage people who may have a common interest, because what I found was, when I did my own training, it's great to have someone you know going along with you. And I think that if we can get these courses hurled, people realise there's someone else with a common interest. It may well... people often won't do it themselves, but I'll, my next door neighbour, she wants to do it, I might go with her. And so it's that trying to encourage a community sense of let's get this thing going. Also, by way of declared interest, I've got some family members who may well be interested themselves in perhaps picking this up down the track. They haven't committed to doing it, but I'm working hard to see it happen. What I'd like to see happen is just not let us lose this service. You know, it's absolutely crucial for the Bothwell community in particular. I don't think it's a bad idea to extend it, as David's suggesting, to Maina, to Bronte, to other areas, if that helps us keep the services there. Because I think there's two parts to it. One of them is supporting the people who are already in the role, but the second, you know, primarily my driver is not losing the Bothwell ambulance service. But as a council, if we can support these other people, why would we not? You know, it just seems like a really good initiative. And so I'm supportive of the motion, but I do think that we need to have an expression of interest called to see what demand there is before we go down the track of organising it.
Okay. Councillor, all right then, Miller.
Anthony and John covered off what a bit of what I want to say, but there's another agenda item to provide money for first aid at development at Maina. But shouldn't we shouldn't we start talking about what we actually need? And I actually think probably Bothwell's a bit more central than Ouse, but anyway, because half an hour from Maina, half an hour from Ellendale.
Yeah.
And an hour and a half from Bronte, Durland Bridge, but there's three rate payers up there.
Okay.
Sorry if there's a rate payer listening. But shouldn't we start talking about combining that
probably
agenda item and this one into finding out what's going on, you know, what we need?
Amendment.
Should we make an amendment? You do the amendment.
We're discussing it.
No, because he's
separate. So, I'll do the amendment.
Councillor Miller?
No. Are we going to have an amendment to the motion or not?
Oh.
Okay. So, what's the agenda item for the community grant? What number is that one?
Guest speakers here at 9:30 and 10 o'clock.
Sorry?
We've got guest speakers here at 9:30 and 10 o'clock.
We're not even through this still.
It was just an amendment, wasn't it, Councillor?
No, there was an actual agenda item for funds for the Maina one.
I'll close.
Can we defer it then?
No, I think we'll defer.
Get the guest, please.
Morning.
Yeah.
Morning. All right, so deferral, who's moving the deferral? Councillor Cassidy and Hall. Those in favour of deferral? Okay, it's deferred. Till after.
6.8, sure.
Different
level. Talking to
one point.
Different levels of training.
I know that.
The amendment is this. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. And the gentleman over there. So what I might ask you to do is give me your name for recording, please. So we might start with this gentleman.
G'day, Chris Cosgrove.
Chris, are you here to...
The Hamilton Show. The Hamilton Show. I'm here to talk about a potential event.
It's fun,
okay.
That's at the end of the agenda.
Is it? All right. And we'll go around the table. The gentleman there, could you please stand and...
Yeah, I do. So Paul Jackson, I'm the CEO of Tasway South.
Corey Peterson, who's our Deputy Chair, and Trent Swindells, who's our Communications and Engagement Officer as well.
Thank you very much. Would you like to give your report, please? Who would like to do that? Trent?
So thank you, Mayor and Councillors, for having us up here. So Corey Peterson, Deputy Chair of Tazway South. Just quickly, before we get into some of the operational things Paul will talk to you about, Tazway South is obviously the Southern Tasmanian Regional Waste Authority. We were established as a joint authority owned by councils, you being one of them. We were set up to ensure that the waste levy that is collected by the state government, which is fully quarantined to come back to deal with waste issues in Tasmania, is spread equally around the 12 Southern Councils, so we have equitable services and similar services from the Tasman Peninsula up to here and in the cities as well. And it's really important that we hear what you're expecting in this space, because it is a levy that your ratepayers are paying as much as anyone else in the state. We just want to make sure that the services that are being provided in infrastructure is meeting the needs in the area. And so maybe that's all I'll say, just in reference to your time, and hand over to Paul as our CEO.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie, and thank you very much for having us this morning. Look, I guess part of this is obviously we're trying to get out and around our member councils to provide a briefing on the work that we're doing, and so the councils are obviously informed. Just a little bit about our governance. We are funded, as Corey said, through the waste levy. We've secured that funding now for another 4 years, so we're funded through till 2030, which is fantastic. So that provides us with a little bit of certainty of security around our funding. So that means we can do some longer-term planning and longer-term working with a longer horizon, which is great. So that will allow us to enter into some longer-term contracts, and I'll talk about a couple of those shortly. You might be aware that the state has released or has just concluded consultation on its draft waste and resource recovery strategy. We made a submission into that, and then we circulated that to our member councils. But because of that, we are reviewing our strategic plan so that there is that, alignment between the work that we're doing and the state strategy. I think that's important from a strategic point of view, but it's also important for us operationally because it makes it much, much easier when we're doing our grant reporting and things like that. So we're in the process of reviewing our strategic plan, and it was Friday we sent a survey out to our member councils through GMs and CEOs. So we're really interested and keen to get feedback from the councils around our sort of future strategic direction. In terms of a few projects that we're working on at the moment, a couple of key ticket items. One's around a regional infrastructure plan. So we've been working on this plan. It's been probably nearly 12 months, which is reflective of the importance and level of work required. So that strategic infrastructure plan for the region is exactly what it says on the tin. It's looking at the region as a whole and identifying what infrastructure do we need over what horizon to serve the region from a waste and resource recovery perspective. So we'll certainly be releasing that, hoping it'll be sometime in August that we've finalised that and then publicly releasing it. The reason we want to publicly release it is really important from our point of view, because it will hopefully provide some certainty and some direction to the market to say this is what is needed. So if there's people or businesses out there that have solutions or can see an opportunity to develop the business in a certain way that can actually address one of our needs, that's really important, and that obviously then minimises the public intervention that's needed to facilitate that. But look, that certainly looks at organics and FOGO contingencies and the commercial organics, which is a really significant issue, identifies the need for a new or significantly upgraded MRF, which is where all the curbside recycling goes, makes some recommendations about the waste transfer stations across the region and operating as a network and how they interact with each other. looking at mobile processing of waste, particularly for the big, heavy things like construction and demolition waste, and looking to expand your construction and demolition recovery infrastructure. The other big ticket item that we've been working on is regional organics strategy as well. So we recognise in the southern region that organics, we've done bin audits, and this is pretty consistent across the region, that approximately 50% of the waste in your red bins, curbside bins, is organic material. So we obviously don't want organic material going to landfill because it takes up space and it also produces a lot more methane as well. So if we can get that organic stream out of the bin, you know, it's going to prolong our assets and our infrastructure, and obviously have a lot of environmental benefits as well. So that organic piece, the strategy and action plan, we're working with the Waste and Resource Recovery Board around that to deliver that, and that'll provide us with a whole heap of recommendations that we can take forward and work again as a region. Some of that's on the collection and the service side, and some of it's on the processing end of the spectrum as well. We're also doing some work around waste transfer stations. We're already doing this, but obviously it aligns with the infrastructure plan as well. We previously developed a standard design, and when I say design, it's not a design in a physical sense, it's a conceptual design, so that doesn't matter the scale of the facility. It sort of identifies a layout or a flow of direction within the site and things like that, so that we can, if we make upgrades or any council makes upgrades to facilities, we can get alignment on that. The other piece of that equation is, now that we've got that bit of work, we're in the process of putting an RFQ out to get somebody to have a look at the transfer stations in our region and work out, well, what's the gap between where they currently sit and what that sort of ideal design might be. And then that will allow us to look at that and perhaps make some direct investment to upgrade those facilities or increase the service offerings or depending on what we find. So we're about to kick that project off. Which would be really good. A couple of other things, education and behaviour change. So you may be aware or have heard of Rethink Waste. Rethink Waste is the education and behaviour change program that we run collaboratively with the other two regional bodies in the north and northwest. It's a statewide program. We employ in the south the statewide coordinator who oversees the program, and we've also got an engagement officer based in the south, and the other two regions have an engagement officer as well. So that engagement officer gets out in the community, doing school visits, school incursions, community groups. They've been doing some work around Plastic Free July, visiting local shopping centres, engaging with people there. So I guess keen for you to be aware of that, but also if you, within your own networks, if there's an opportunity that you could see that being a benefit to any community group or anything like that that you're involved with, please let us know. More than happy to do that. We've been able to, last financial year, this is just across the southern region, visited 30 schools, delivered 80 workshops, and engaged with about 2,500 students, which is fantastic. We've also been able to grow our social media following as well, which is really important to get that sort of message out as well. I'm conscious of the time, but household hazardous waste collection weekends, again, you may have seen some advertising around this. We did some collection weekends through May, which is sort of part of a program that we're running, generally trying to hit autumn and spring. Targeting household hazardous waste, meaning pesticides, cleaning products, those sorts of things. Smaller quantities, of course, but we managed to, across the five locations and three weekends in May, we managed to collect about 4.6 tonnes of material, which, either wouldn't have been disposed of, or people would have disposed of it inappropriately as well. So that's been a really, really good program. And that sort of, the 4.6 tonnes we collected there, it takes it up to about 12 tonnes in total that we've collected over the last 12 or 18 months. So as I was talking about earlier, now that we've got some certainty and security in our funding, we'll look to lock that program in on a regular basis. a pre-programmed basis, so that we can sort of sit here and know exactly where we're going to be over the next 3 or 4 years and where we'll deliver those collection weekends. So that's been a really, really good program. We're doing some work around soft plastics, looking at circular economy, procurement, and the role that local government can play in that procurement space. Procurement obviously is a big lever for the public sector to drive outcomes other than just the actual outcome you're chasing, or the, you know, the service or the thing you're purchasing. So we're working with LGAT around that and their procurement team to help support our councils. And then look, finally, just wanted to mention one of the recommendations coming out of our infrastructure plan was around the MRF. Yeah, that's an ageing facility. We've been talking to the operator of that facility and we'll do some further work this financial year about the future of that site and what that might look like going forward. So again, it can set the region up for a with a sustainable bit of infrastructure for the long term.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll get some councillors to ask some questions. Councillor Cassidy, then Miller, and Hall.
Yes, Peter, Robert Cassidy. We got three questions. One about organics, the next one about plastics, and the other about lithium batteries. And also, since this is audio recorded, it's probably a matter of education for the public who may be listening to this. Mm-hmm. So, now, insofar as the organics, you said that go into the red bin, mm-hmm. Creating a methane gas, mm-hmm. What specific organics are you referring to? This could be, let's say, composted instead.
Well, look, it's the full, well, I guess we're talking about the curbside organics, primarily, in the sense, so it's household curbside, so you're talking food scraps, garden waste, so obviously some councils already have, well, some councils across the region is a mixture of services, so there's FOGO, which is your food organics, garden organics, some councils only have garden organics, and obviously some councils don't have a curbside service, and then they just rely on transfer station drop-off. So what we want to do is try and get alignment, and when I say alignment, I don't mean every council has a uniform service, because that's not going to be practical and exactly right, expensive, particularly for a council like yourselves, geographically dispersed, it's not the economics of it won't work. So what I guess we talk about is making sure that we have, as a region, we have a coordinated and aligned service.
All right. So the other two questions about the plastics and lithium batteries. So let's say, for example, plastics like packaging, supermarket packaging for meats, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that that's not recyclable, but you could recycle it. So, that stuff would end up going into the red bin, and then into landfill, and, it's not biodegradable. So
that's exactly right.
I think that we need to find a way to recycle as much as we possibly can. Various types of plastics, various types of metals, et cetera, et cetera.
And so just on that, some councils have trials, I think Clarence, Glenorchy, Hobart and Kingborough, trial soft plastics collection, and so that is getting recycled. It's a single drop-off point. So we're working with them to get some data out of how those trials have worked, what the economics of it are. So we're in discussions with them about, well, how could we do that on a regional basis? The other thing we're doing is we've been talking to these to Soft Plastic Stewardships Australia, which is the product stewardship scheme for soft plastics. So their members include the Coles and the Woolworths and the manufacturers of soft plastics. So we're having conversations with them because they would like to introduce curbside soft plastics recycling. Now, as a group of councils that we've been working with them on that, there's a number of concerns and issues that we need to deal with, and we're having conversations, hopefully get that to a point where we might be able to look at that, but you're right, we need to
If I may, Paul, very quickly, since the collapse of Redcycle a few years ago, things have changed a great deal. There's currently a lot of movement nationally on this issue, including the potential for federal legislation, which would obviously change things if the federal government came out and led on soft plastics recycling. So there's a range of initiatives that are out there, and we're looking at a number of different options.
So the last point that I wanted to ask is about the lithium batteries. Mm-hmm. You know, lithium batteries, if they end up in the trash, mm-hmm. regardless of what size they are,
yep.
and then they end up getting a maybe leaking mm-hmm. while they're in the trash,
yep.
they could be in fire or an explosion hazard, or if they end up into the tip,
absolutely.
There could be a fire or an explosion hazard, yep. which might set methane gases off mm-hmm. or other problems that you would encounter at tip sites. So I think that we need to find a way to accurately address the lithium battery issue and educate the public not to discard the lithium batteries into their general waste.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And look, again, similar, there is some work happening at the national level around product stewardship. So there is a mandated sort of collection process. But there are options at the moment around that. So there's a lot of drop-off points in supermarkets, Bunnings and the like. So.
Councillor Miller, all right.
Thank you for coming. I've recently moved down to the Brighton Council, and they have the three bins.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought, right, plastic, put it into the recycle. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot down there that you can put the wrapping in, but the trays you cannot put in. And they state that, so mm-hmm. that's something I think we need to try and address.
Yep.
I've been asking for, God, from the time I was elected, to have the green waste bins up here. Everyone's agreed, but we've just never got around to doing it. But you're talking about the green waste and the compost. Now, the Hamilton tip has a green waste area up there that we can use mm-hmm. for that. So having a green waste bin would yep. be advantage to that and to recycle this green waste. But Councillor Cassidy said, I've been very worried about the lithium ion batteries because mm-hmm. The only way you can put them out is with sand. And the ones that we would get up to the tip would be the damaged ones that cause all the problems.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing that I'd be looking at is in what suitable container we can have, even if it's only the one container at the tip or whatever,
yeah.
to be able to put them in and to educate people to do that.
Yeah.
And that was something I was going to bring up at the next meeting. But I'd like to see a lot more education because it shocked me what I couldn't put in and what I could put in when it came to my daughter-in-law saying, no, you can't put that in, you can't put that in.
You're absolutely right. Look, education and behaviour change is critical, and that's why we've got Rethink Waste. That's what that's intended to do. Now, obviously, we've only had that fully resourced for the last 12 months, so it's sort of taken a little bit to establish that, but now we're sort of getting that traction and got the resource in there, so hopefully you'll see that visibly over the next 12 months.
Thank you, yeah. Councillor. All right, and Archer.
Paul, thanks. Councillor Robert sort of cut off on a bit of Rob, but my comment about the food organic business, well, waste is expensive and it's about 10 or 12% of our total income. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that compares with other councils, but the food organic garden organic mm-hmm. bins have been met with a distinct lack of enthusiasm across a lot of Australia. And this is just a comment. I mean, what can we do about that? There's places for us to put it mm-hmm. here, but I'd be reluctant to go down that path in this municipality. You just get too much contamination.
Yeah, and I should stress, the organic strategy doesn't suggest every yeah. council or every resident yeah. should have a photo bin. It doesn't go that far. I guess what we want to do is have use the organic strategy to have a coordinated, approach across the region, so that where some councils will introduce FOGO, and if that works in that council, that's great. There are other councils that may not be appropriate for, and that's okay too, but we obviously then have, we still have avenues for people to dispose of that isn't through general waste bin. So it's really just about getting that out of the general waste stream.
So just general commentary, but the main question is there a way that you and other authorities can work with other authorities to extend the container deposit scheme to bigger bottles and wine bottles and things? So I mean that is going to be that would be a easy fix, and beer, you know, long neck beer bottles, whiskey bottles, all sorts of things.
I think telling us about it is absolutely a way you can do that.
Who do we talk to?
Look, I know Tab Recycle is obviously there to roll the scheme out and manage the scheme, but clearly they will feed.
It's only taking the little bottles.
They'll provide feedback to the government around its position.
So what's that going to be, 5 years or 12?
I guess what I would say is that there are some states in Australia, so I think Queensland have already introduced the inclusion of wine and spirit containers already. I think Western Australia, and don't quote me on this, but I think Western Australia and New South Wales have looked at it, and I'm not sure whether there's been commitments made just at the moment. But look, I also know that there's conversations happening at the national level about unifying the approach across all
across
states,
the states,
and also looking at the value of the refund as well. So, you know, as you say, that's not going to happen overnight, but look, there are conversations happening at the moment. I think your point to the inclusion of other containers, we made a submission early on in our existence when the CRS was in the process of being developed about the inclusion of a broader range of containers, including wine and spirit containers. That was our submission at the time, but obviously, you know,
the legislation here, and it's been, let's say, remarkably successful, stop people chucking them out the window when they go on the road.
Yeah.
But there's lots of wine bottles, big bottles.
Okay, can we hear Councillor Archer, and then it's time to...
Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to involve the General Manager in this conversation, much to his glee, I'm not sure. but over the last 8 budgets, every time the bloody cost increases of our waste disposal just kills our budget. It's just out of control. What are you doing to get it back under control or to reduce it for us? We own our own tips, and it's not environmentally sensitive, in my view, for us to be transporting, using fossil fuels, rubbish from here to the other end of the state, basically. It's madness. So every year we talk about the cost, how unsustainable it is. I'd love your comments, but I'd also like the GM to be supportive in terms of we make his life a misery asking these questions about, as you can imagine. It's just madness from our perspective as a little council. You're a really big part of our budget. Yeah. We've got to pass it on to our ratepayers. They're not happy customers. There's stuff all we can do about it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the positive things that you've actually done. Yeah, I don't think it's all bad news. You know, I'm very much supportive of my colleagues in terms of the bottle schemes and things. Mm. Terrific. But gosh, you're a big cost. What are you doing to control that? And I'd love some input from our GM.
Well, I guess what I would say to that initially is that you don't directly fund us. So
it feels like it.
Well, you don't directly fund us. So obviously the Waste and Resource Recovery Board collect the landfill levy across the state from all waste operators across the state, waste facility operators across the state. So from that waste levy, we actually receive funding, which allows you to get a return for the work that we do and the benefit that that's going to provide the council. So that's how that funding mechanism works. But I guess to answer your question in terms of minimising that, our focus is much more in the resource recovery space. So I guess it's two parts to it. So the more that we can divert waste from landfill, the less landfill levy councils or facility operators will have to pay. So if we can divert more material from landfill and we actually recover it, that means that material is then, you know, still cycling around in the economy and still being utilised. And I know some of this is fairly philosophical or, you know, utopian, but that's what we're, you know, striving towards. And I guess it happens in other parts of the world, albeit they're further down that journey than we are in Australia at the moment. So I guess that's what we're doing and trying to. So there's that part of about the recovery. The other part of it is looking at absolutely that efficiency equation, and that's where things like the organics strategy or the infrastructure plan can come into it, and we can look at things regionally rather than each council having to go it alone and continue fighting its own battle. We can look at things regionally and say, well, okay, can we get some efficiency by having a bulk up facility closer to individual facilities or things like that. Now, that's not to say that's the solution, but it's just an example of a solution.
Yeah, okay. We'll let the general manager tidy this one up.
He's got to tidy it up.
Yeah, good.
Some of the argument we cop is what do we actually get back from the levy that we pay? Are we going to go through for the next few years and have the extortionate increase that we had that we've had over the last few years? We applied for a grant to actually put in a weighbridge, totally unsuccessful, which is disappointing because clearly where we sit at the moment is a guesstimation. Now that might be a guess on our side and good. Might not be a guess, and we might be paying more for the waste that we're not sending. Mm-hmm. So they're the issues that we have. That's basically where the conversation seems to come back to me with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess it's certainly not the silver bullet to that solution, but I guess having those conversations and the role we can play in supporting that is absolutely the role for us. As an original body.
Well, that is important you get this feedback.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we welcome it. So there's no issue at all in that sense. It's
long sad faces with these big cost rises.
Absolutely. Well, and I should say too that with the waste levy, and again, not, it's not us that set the levy, but the levy is at the highest point that it's going to get in the short term. So when the government introduced that legislation, there was an increase every 2 years for the first 6 years, so we've now reached the highest point of that legislated increase, so that's where it's going to sit. What the government does beyond now, I don't know, so there'll be some indexation on it annually, but that's sort of a CPI range. So the other feedback we've had around the levy from sort of external consultants that have worked nationally is that they said when the levy sort of hit this range in other jurisdictions is when it started to have an impact on behaviour. So that obviously is the method or the theory behind it, is that the levy will get to a point where it will start people changing their behaviour and realising, I'm not going to dispose of that to landfill, I'll go and recover it and separate the waste and only dispose to landfill what is genuinely waste, not stuff that can be utilised further. So,
what worries us is when it's dumped beside the road. There's no winners in that.
No, absolutely right.
And if I may just very quickly, it's worth pointing out that, we are one of the last states to bring in a landfill levy, and we also have the cheapest one in Australia, the lowest one. So
that's good.
As is appropriate for Tasmania, and now that it's reached its full level, we can hopefully start to see some more of that funding get deployed by the Waste and Resource Recovery Board where it's needed.
Well, thank you so much for that, and feel free, we're going to break for 15 minutes for a cuppa if you'd like to join us and have a cuppa. Thank you. So councillors, 15 minutes.
Thank you.
All right, councillors, thank you. Councillor, all right, where are we going to? 1.11.1.
Yeah, if I move an amendment, we defer this item and item 6.1 whatever.
6.8.
Sorry?
6.8.
This item.
Combine?
And because we need some discussion on combining the council resources to either keep two processes separate or amalgamate them up into one process of possible.
So what you're saying is combine 1.11.1 with 6.8.
Correct? Is that it? Yes. Does that sound right?
Yes. Sounds right.
Yes. So do we want to debate it when we get to 6.8?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah.
Okay, second for the amendment.
Councillor Hall. Those in favour? Please raise your hands.
Okay.
All those raise your hand. Raise your hand. To the next one.
Is anyone in favour of the amendments? Please raise your hand.
We're voting on whether. Councillor Arch is just wondering what we're voting on.
We're combining them.
Combining the two motions.
Yes. Well,
was discussed, but is that what we're voting on?
That's what the amendment is, that we debate that together. Yeah. So this one and 6.8 be debated when we get to 6.8.
Right. Yeah.
So those in favour, please raise your hands. So are we all in favour?
No.
Okay, those against, I've heard a record. Against is... Is that up or
no, 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 I moved it. I thought you were...
Those against is Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meach.
Thank
Honour, Meach, Archer.
Honour.
Honour.
Honour,
Meach, and Archer.
So that's three.
So that's
three. I'm just waiting to find out where you sit.
Me? I'm... with it. I'm supportive.
Of the amendment?
Yep.
Okay, so the amendment. We now put the amendment as the motion, as the substantive motion. Those in favour of the amendment?
You've got
them. We're combining them.
Combining, we're in favour of now, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, those in favour of combining the amendment, please raise your hands. Right, so there's Councillor Allwright, Cassidy, Trivett, Hall and Trivett.
Okay, the amendment's carried.
Amendment's carried. That was
done. And it was the same that we're against.
Yes.
No, I was against it as well, sorry.
What's your vote for it?
No, because I wasn't quite sure what we were voting. I can change my mind, I'm a woman, I'm allowed to.
So Miller was against?
Yes.
Sorry, Katrina, can you say who was for and who was against?
For the substantive motion. It was Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour and Councillor Meacham were against.
Thank you. Steve. 4-5 on all those.
Okay. So we are. Did we have any public question time? I spoke to the gentleman here. He's just listening to the meeting. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, I'm only here meeting sort of Larry.
Yeah.
I've got to go.
Thank you.
Two point two.
Petitions, deputations, presentations, nil. Petitions, nil. Deputations, nil. Presentations. We've had the presentations by Paul Jackson and Trina Swindles from Tazewater South. Now we're 2.3 mayoral and elected members' activities. A mover, Councillor Honour. A seconder, Councillor Trivett. Speaking to that, Councillor Honour?
No.
No. Councillor Trivett?
No.
Councillor Laws? Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? No, that is carried. Recommendation mover, please. Councillor Cassidy, seconder, Councillor Honour. Would you like to speak to this, Councillor Cassidy?
No.
Councillor Honour?
Yeah.
Councillor Laws?
2.4 is.
Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Anyway, guys, no, it's carried. Very good. You have all your correspondence that I've received. You have that in your attachments as well. 2.5 is the general manager's activities. A mover, please. Councillor Archer, Councillor Cassidy. Any comments, Councillor Archer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just wondering, where appropriate, is it worth the GM just giving us a, you know, like a one paragraph on some of these points that aren't being brought to attention otherwise? Just a thought.
General Manager, what's your...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yep. Do you only where appropriate, because some is obviously going to be commercial in confidence, just some of the other stuff would be just interesting to know, you know, what success you've had, for instance.
Success?
Well, maybe meetings, you know, where you get there.
The second is Councillor Cassidy. Do you have any comments? The Council's Councillor, all right.
I'd like to ask the General Manager whether he had any success with the value of general.
Can I raise that in class?
Councillor Miller,
question? Yes.
Yeah, no,
just the meeting with Carlo DeFalco. Did he... What was that one about?
Basically, it's about all the issues. We've got mobile phone service, ambulance service, doctors...
Oh, God.
The whole lot,
yep.
Whole end, including the Highland Lakes Road or track, whatever we like to class it as.
Yeah.
Thank you. I hope he was supportive.
Can I? Oh, I'm not sure how I'm going to answer this politely. Most politicians tell you what you want to hear, but don't deliver.
But Carlo's a damn good guy.
He is.
He's a very good person.
I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying quite clearly that. Yeah, when we have the discussion, you don't seem to get a great deal of feedback from the discussion you have, which is the part that's more disappointing.
Councillor Leach.
Yeah, I've just responded to the meeting with Carlo DeFalco. What I found useful about that was we explained our difficulties about the waiting for renewable energy plants in particular. He was receptive.
Yeah.
We were able to inform him on some things that he otherwise wasn't informed on. And as part of a broader effort, we have engaged Greens, we have engaged Roof Forest and MLC, we've engaged a number, and this is going to be a matter of discussion when State Parliament resumes in August. So, you know, we're setting this up for a decent debate into something that's workable in relation to rating renewable energy plants. So on that front, yes, I endorse what GM Steve says, but it was good that we got him informed and hopefully active on our cause. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Back to you, Councillor Archer to close.
We don't expect a tone, Steve, in terms of any comments, just only where, and only where appropriate, thank you.
No, it's fine.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried. 3.1, Doan Catchment, may I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Miller, any comments, Councillor Honour?
No, just a very good report once again.
Very good, Councillor Miller.
Just that it was good to see how they've done that Croker Valley. I went ahead there the other week and it's looking really good. So, yeah, they've done a great job.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, Councillor Ward.
The councillors might note also the replanting at Croker's Alley has involved students from Hobart that have come up and they've come to the nursery, have gone across and picked, so, you know, they've got good traction.
Yeah. Any other councillor comments? Okay, back to Councillor Honour to close.
No, that's fine.
Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Right, that's carried. 3.2, policy, the asbestos. Mover, please, Councillor Miller.
Do we want Adam?
I've just asked for Adam.
Seconder, please, Councillor Honour. Any comments, Councillor Miller?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing. As I saw it, an ongoing problem with asbestos, because I know of a former resident who didn't do the job that was supposed to have been done in getting the asbestos to the tip. So when we did this, I was quite pleased that we updated it, and hopefully we won't have any more problems with it.
Thank you. The seconder is Councillor Honour.
No.
Councillor Laws, any comments around that? Alrighty. In saying that, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Alrighty, 3.3, Code for Tenders and Contracts Policy. May I have a mover, please? Mover, please, Councillor Cassidy. Seconder, Councillor Miller. Councillor Cassidy, any comments?
Oh, no.
No, welcome, Adam. We're just going through the policies at the moment. Come up here, Adam, it's easier. We can see you up here. I can see you way down there. Mover was Councillor Cassidy, seconder Councillor Miller. Councillor Laws, any comments?
No, can I, excuse me, Mayor, can I have, as a seconder, I haven't had it.
Oh, didn't I ask?
No. Councillor
Miller?
No, I don't have anything after all that.
Councillor Laws? Back to the mover to close.
No, nothing there.
Okay, in saying that, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hand. And that is carried. 3.4 is the private works policy. May I have a mover? Councillor Miller, Councillor Honour. Any comments, Councillor Miller?
Yeah, the private works policy, we, after talking to a few people about the private works within other councils, I'm just wondering if it's, and talking to people here, the works policy, we need to probably expand it a bit. I know it's been already spoken to, and we're now putting it for the recommendation, but I'd like people to think about it more and expand it.
Well,
we do,
pardon?
I know we workshopped it, but then I was talking to other people about it afterwards. The private works policy,
how would you like to see
no, it? Yeah, I've lost track of thought now. Thanks, Jim. I know that, yeah, we've the workmen here, our works people, have done work for the residents, and the residents pay for that material. I've had it done before. And I'm just wondering whether it's worthwhile if we can expand it. So, because people up here, they're kind of fortunate to get stuff up. You're like, look,
we'll ask our policy.
Yeah, look, he's got me. Jimmy, you've got me all disorganised.
Well, the private works policy is a policy that we've put in place because of the reports from the Auditor General.
Mm-hmm.
And the Auditor General has checked off on the policy and is happy with our policy. But we did pick up that we did have one act in there that probably should be taken out, and that's what we've taken it out. Overall, you know, look, it's a simple policy. It's there. It's really just to show that we're not going to give any benefits to our councillors or employees, and that everyone would be seen on an equal footing. And if you came in and wanted work, that it would be costed in accordance with council's budgets and the council's requirements, and if it was over a certain value, then it would require the general manager's approval for major works. So,
thank you.
Pretty good. Okay, seconder is Councillor Honour.
No, I've got nothing to.
Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on, I think it's great that we've got the highlighted areas, Adam. Thanks very much.
Yes,
it makes it
thanks,
so much easier for us to try and get some sense. But there isn't a synopsis of the changes. what I notice is that some things we've put a line through, and they are that the council no longer will deal properly with complaints about its tendering processes. That's under complaints processes. That's been ruled out. And I'm not exactly sure why we wouldn't continue to do that.
That's a different policy, I think, isn't it?
Is it, right?
Yeah, we're on our private works policy now, 3.4.
Right, I'll jump ahead to it. Yeah, well, and again, well, in the private works, where was that? I found some things there, I think.
3.4.
Yeah, 3.4, the only change in the private works policy was the Trade Practices Act of 1974 was removed from the policy.
Okay. Right.
Okay, any other councillor comments? Alrighty, back to Councillor Miller to close.
No, I made a miss for the first time. I'm not making a miss for the second time.
You can have a second question.
Can I? I don't think so.
Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That's Garrett. Alrighty, the next one is 3.5, Safeguard of Conduct Policy. Mover, please, Councillor Cassidy.
I think you've misled me.
Seconder. Have we?
What page is it in terms of the attachments?
On page 43, so I don't know where you are.
In the attachments is page 123.
Yeah, that was, so I was on the right one, Robert. You misled me. It was that the previous.
We've got Councillor Cassidy who has moved. So, Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to it? Councillor Honesty.
The staff code of conduct policy, Adam, I really like it. It's just. Yeah, it's excellent, and I almost wish that our code of conduct policy, you know, for counselors was, aligned with that. It's just really good. You put a lot of good effort into that. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Councillor Honor.
No, I've got nothing to comment on.
Councillor Laws,
really good.
No, thanks, Councillor. Councillor Laws. Okay, I'll put the recommendation. You'd like to close, Councillor Cassidy?
Nothing else.
Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. So that one's carried as well.
It's effectively a no change, isn't it?
Exactly. 3.6 is Information Management Record Keeping Policy. Mover, please, Councillor Meacham. Seconder, Councillor Cassidy. Alrighty, Councillor Meacham.
Special thanks to Jean and Steve, and also to you, Adam. I think you, I did express concerns about electronic record keeping. I had the experience when I was with Wyong Council where files became corrupted, and in relation to legal matters, to find out what had happened before, we had to go back to the litigators to reconstruct the record. Thank you both, because the view that we got from Stephen Conrad, was reassuring in terms of the depth and the redundant measure. So the backups aren't to a single source, but to multiple repositories. I think it's good. So yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and also the backups in the Microsoft 365 as well, so that the emails are backed up, so that they're not lost as well. So.
Yeah, and the one thing
they are stored off site in the cloud, but we actually have a copy of them.
And that's what I talked when I talk about redundancy. You've got the two sources there. The one thing you look out for though is the disappearance of media types. You know, we had backups some years ago to CD-ROMs, for example, because they are now passé. So, just staying alert to those media, those technological shifts, is important too. Thank you, Gabe.
And I guess also too with the cloud is that a councillor moves on and isn't a councillor anymore, that we capture that, or a staff member, that we capture those documents in 365 on our server, because otherwise not just sitting in the cloud, so that we do have to research any of those documents and gather those.
Yeah, I am sceptical about cloud storage, but at least we've got that second source available. Thank you.
Cassidy.
Well, so, about the cloud storage, I don't know if it's a question that you can answer, Adam, but perhaps for Steve Conrad. I just wanted to be sure that it's not subject to compromise or hacking, there's a lot of very, very important and sensitive information in there concerning, yeah, the council, the municipality, the residents and ratepayers, and each of us. So I just want to be sure that, you know, it's not going to be hacked or compromised by bad actors.
Well, we go on the advice from the state government. The state government cyber security centre. They, even in the last week, there's been three messages from them, and that they're always checked by our contractors to ensure that we meet those requirements. There's a scam on at the moment. You may have it from a different country. That we're constantly getting emails and updates to check things, and they're always sent through to our contractor, who checks them and then advises us back to say that they've been checked.
So who maintains that cloud?
Ours.
Yes.
That's through Stephen Conrad.
All right.
Yep. Try digital.
All right. That was best.
Councillors, any comments? Back to council meeting to close.
No, not to add. Thanks for the conversation.
So those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That's carried. Thank you. 4.1, monthly finance report. No monthly finance report will be provided for June 2026. 5 is land use planning and development approvals. Those in favour of recommendation
5.1. We haven't done what we
have. Yeah, I'm just on 5.1.
We're just receiving it, I'll move it.
You're going to receive
it. We're just receiving it.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam. Thank you. Second up, Councillor Archer. Rightio. Councillor, all right, you move. Do you have comments on this?
No, we're just receiving it and just note it.
Councillor Archer.
Mayor, there's been some changes in red to the policy. This is the public open space thing. And,
No, it's being debated shortly.
Right, sorry.
Councillors, any comments? Did you like to come up here, Louisa?
Where are we at?
Back to you, the councillor. All right to
no.
Close.
No, right here. No, I didn't.
Right, those in favour, raise your hands, please. Carry. Five point one. Move it, please. Recommendation. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Meacham. Any comments, Councillor Cassidy?
Maybe your comments previously to Louisa regarding our guest fit, and they came to a Bothwell council meeting some time ago, a couple of years ago, I guess, and they were talking about progressing and scenic landscape values and all of that. I just would like to be sure that they fulfill what they said they were going to do at that time. That's all. If you could please pass that on to them. Otherwise, nothing else to add.
Councillor Meacham?
In relation to the notion of aggregated funds, so that we can, we've got a pool of money available for, you know, very major bricks and mortar. I very much advocate that council be the, and I'll make this a matter of the written submission too. That council be the fund holder. Now, a number of advantages to council having a key part in that is that, number one, we have the knowledge in terms of local needs and priorities.
Number two, that we can swallow the cost of part of our contribution, so that we swallow the costs of the administration of the fund. Those in particular, but also maintaining an even balance, because if we go off and have an external borrow fund, they've got every right to exact an administration charge, and I think we avoid that. So, otherwise, look, good luck on Thursday.
Councillors, any comments? Any? No? Back to you to close, Councillor Cassidy.
Nothing to add.
Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Carried. That was it.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether you had your hand up later.
I'll move to the next one then.
Okay, Councillor, all right.
So I will move that we don't accept the changes.
Okay. 5.1.2 is the public open space policy, moved by Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Meacham. Councillor Allwright, would you like to
say? So the minor changes are actually a major change, and it effectively significantly increases the tax that council charges people around Hamilton and Ouse and Bothwell who want to subdivide their land to increase their population. It's just an anti-development.
Okay. Councillor Merchant, you're the seconder.
I support Jim's proposition on this. I'm not in favour of this because I believe that we need to do the maximum we can to encourage new building development in particular. I'm sceptical about public open space contributions as it is. The vast majority, well not the vast majority, but probably the bare majority of developments in the last 7 or 8 years have been on the Central Plateau for public open space. We still don't have a single park. We still, I know the funds are there, but we don't have a children's playground. We don't have street lighting. So, you know, The public open space contributions really should be reflected in the local spending, and it's, you know, in relation to the disposal of land that we're considering in places like Waitangi. GM Steve has quite rightly pointed out, saying, look, if we do that, then we need to see a conversion of that asset, that local asset, our asset, into another form of local asset. I urge us to perhaps put this for reconsideration at least a couple of years' time, but at this stage I'm not in favour of this.
Rightio, Councillor Cassidy.
I'm a little bit confused by previous councillors' remarks. So, you know, if a piece of property is developed and you'd end up with a higher value, and so a higher contribution and more cash in the till. But again, I agree with Jim on this. I see two sides of this coin, and I do definitely agree with Jim that, and I'm sorry, Lisa, I think this is an anti-development. We need to encourage people to subdivide their properties in these smaller communities, and if we start throwing more financial burden upon them, it's going to just discourage them, I believe. I appreciate all your work and your effort into it, though.
Okay. Councillor Laws, any other councillors' comments? Okay. Did you have anything to say about that, Louise? Are you happy with it?
Yeah.
Yep.
If I could just explain the reason for the change. The reason for the change is because, yes, we have legislation about public open space contribution, but sometimes the legislation isn't always clear, or it can be interpreted in different ways by different councils. So in those situations, in planning and other areas as well, we rely on case law, and so the case law for this is the most recent Supreme Court hearing, where the court ruled that public open space contributions for cash in lieu should be valued at the time of sealing, which is when the improvements have been made to the lots. But that's all that it is. It would be an update to the policy, but I'm happy to review it again at a later date.
Councillor Cassidy, you have actually spoken.
Yes, sir. Based upon that,
Councillor Cassidy, you have actually spoken.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to close it, Mayor?
Is there any other councillors wish to speak to this? Okay, close, please, councillor.
So, our strategic plan is to encourage development, not tax people, whatever. And up in my, with there is an argument there that David brought up, but mostly Moana and the Lake Country was developed before they actually even invented a public open space policy. So, and that was back in the Bothwell Council days. So it's sort of,
All righty, thank you. Councillor Allwright is closed. Those in favour?
Can we just a point of clarification? If we move the motion as it stands, the policy will be amended to include, because that's what it says, that the information be received and the policy be amended accordingly.
Accordingly.
So that will mean, according to the report, the public open space will be at the higher value, not the lower value. So...
so I move to reject the change. That was what... I reckon it's on the tape.
Yes. But that would be an amendment.
Yes. Oh, I thought I would move... someone's going to move an amendment.
Well...
So the current situation at the moment, we've got the recommendation.
Well, if we put it as that recommendation there, which is the motion, not an amended motion, it means that the policy will change to reflect the high value.
So we've got to get someone to move an amendment.
We need an amendment.
Councillor,
I'd like to move an amendment, Mayor.
Why don't you just reject it? If we all reject it, then it fails.
Well, we've got to vote against this motion.
That's right.
Well, so if you vote against this motion, then that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
So you don't need an amendment if you want to vote against this motion.
Let everyone be aware, we've got to vote against this motion.
Correct.
Sorry, Louisa. Your hair went up like mine.
Okay, back to where we were.
We put the motion. If you vote for it, you're in strong. If you vote against it, you'll be fine to stay according to the
GM. You'll be fine for the Louisa.
GM, that's influencing. Okay, we're back to Councillor Allwright, who is closing. So you've closed.
Yes, I'll close, so we've got to vote against the motion.
So, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands.
Keep your hands up.
Sorry,
no hands raised, I'll record that. Okay, those against the recommendation, please raise your hand. And that is carried, including myself.
Sorry about that, Louisa.
Isn't that lovely, Louisa? All right, 5.2. Council now acts as the planning authority. Councillor Honour and Councillor Hall. Any comment, Councillor Honour? Councillor Hall?
No, ma'am.
Councillor Hawes?
No. Yes, ma'am.
Councillor Archer?
Are we talking about the waste?
Yeah. We're only going to move into planning.
Correct. Act as a planning authority. It's moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Hall. I asked Councillor Honour, did she have any comments?
I've just got one on the spreading of the...
No, I had nothing for that.
And for the second to Councillor Hall?
No, I have nothing to say there.
And for Councillor Laws on that, as we act as a planning authority?
That's right. Yeah. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those in favour? Thank you, Extra Chair. All righty, let's go 5.2.1. Okay, recommendation mover, please, Councillor Archer and Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Archer, off you go.
Mayor, I'm generally in favour of the proposal, but I don't believe we've quite covered what might be required. I'm very glad that the language says that if it creates a odour, that will be addressed. And I think the buffer zones will be a minimum, but apparently that's what we need to have as buffer zones. But I am concerned that there is no provision under this for keeping away from watercourses. I think watercourses should be noted, but there are several watercourses there which will affect potential, because we're being asked to allow a higher than normally would be approved under the AMM for the biosolids to be spread. The risk of a rain event after they've been spread is just, you know, a natural consequence of living in an environment that we can't predict, and I think that there needs to be buffer zones around several of the watercourses, dams, that sort of thing, to make sure that there is no potential for runoff causing us issues, particularly with things like phosphate levels downstream.
Thank you. Louise would like to respond to that, and then I'll go to the second to host, Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, thank you, Councillor. Good question. Buffers around watercourses, that would come under the EPN, which our EHO will issue as part of this permit process.
We've seen them hopeless.
Well, we have been taking
just a moment. The planner has the floor at the moment.
We have been taking some advice from neighbouring councils in terms of their EPNs and working on stronger wording for those, councillor. But I do hear your concern, and it is something that we are working with our EHO to improve the not restrictions but the guidelines of the EPN.
I just talk about some classic examples. One of them was the Patrick Plains wind farms. We know that, for instance, the cider gums are endangered, and the EPN approved a road through the middle of a cider gum plantation. Madness. You know, there's less than 100 hectares of them left in the world. I think it's 20 hectares of cider gums left. So I've no faith at all in what may or may not be put into future drafts. I'm supportive of it. Absolutely. I think it's a great... it's important that we have an outlet for these wastes. You know, that it's a biologically sustainable way, given that it's managed in a responsible manner. The only two issues, in my view, are likely to be odour near a township. Is 100 metres enough? Depends on the day. I think it's bare bloody minimum. But then the other is the potential contamination of watercourses. If we do those two things, we're doing the community a service in terms of sensible biological management. But I think without those two considerations as part of our conditioning, can we do that? You're telling me we can't.
I cannot. I don't believe that the planning permit can condition the distance to watercourses, because although the watercourses are within the Natural Assets Code, land use, so the use of land, does not apply in the code overlay. That's where it's picked up in the EPN, along with odour, in terms of what happens if the product comes to site and is odorous. That is dealt with in the EPN.
I can just see people knocking on Louise's door. and I think we're involved.
I do 100% hear your concerns, and I also agree with those concerns, but it is not something that the planning permit can address. And the only reason why this application has come to council is because of the attenuation code and the property.
Two representations.
Well, yeah, but so normally this would occur. No permit required.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No permit required, and it does occur. Mm-hmm. No permit required in and around Bothwell. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's discretionary is because the property that it's being applied to is less than 100 metres from dwellings. So that's the only reason why it's discretionary.
Well, I thought it was also discretionary.
No, it's Councillor Cassidy's turn now. You've had a bite of the cherry. Councillor Cassidy, what was your...
Well, so I feel a bit conflicted on this issue because, you know, the owners, one of the owners' children live across the street from me, but that, regardless, what I would suggest, what I would strongly suggest, is not to necessarily reject this, but I would suggest that we defer this recommendation or defer this application until we can get an answer from the EPA or who can make a determination for our council and report back to our planning officer and our general manager regarding the possible effluent entering into Bothwell's drinking water.
Oh, no, only drinking water.
Well,
hang on a minute.
Well, downstream.
Council's waiting to speak.
So that would be my recommendation, that we should do the right thing and get a reading from those responsible who could make that determination, whether it's the EPA or whoever. That's it.
Okay, we've got Councillor Hall and Councillor Allwright, and then I might go back to Louisa.
This is a question, Louisa, for Louisa. Do you think that a 100 metre buffer zone is enough from the town? I mean, you just use it as an example, is right, is a toilet canary, a blowfly, can fly on, you know what I mean? Like, like contamination with humans, like a fly lands on a door handle, you go and grab the door handle, it's muck. Do you think that buffer zone is enough, or do you think that we probably should stretch it out a tad, like another 50 metres? I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yes. So, whether I think 100 metres is enough or not is irrelevant, because the code says 100 metres. But what's important to remember is that the applicant themselves are creating a 250-metre buffer.
I thought it was 100, I'm sorry.
So it's a 250-metre buffer,
I thought it's on the town side on that street. I thought it just said 100 metres on the circle. There's a circle.
So when we're applying the attenuation code, so it doesn't really matter if the applicant spread down here.
Yeah.
It's the attenuation code reads the activity that could cause the nuisance, the site boundary, which is here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, biosolids are heavily regulated and they should not come to site. Yes, that's the attenuation code.
Right.
That's what that is.
Right.
So that's my 100 metres from the site boundary.
Yeah.
But the applicant has been very generous.
Right, yeah.
Generous and said that they are going to not spread within 250 metres of the property boundary.
Thank you.
It should not smell. Stabilised biosolids, when they come to site, should not be odorous. And TAS Water have said that in the past 18 months that they haven't received any complaints about odour. And if the biosolids do come to site and they're stockpiled and they do have an odour, then they have a management system, a management plan, in which they will respond to the odour and deal with them.
Alrighty, Councillor Allwright then, Miller.
So, spreading biosolids is a well-recognised way of getting rid of things. I acknowledge there's some yuck factor, that's what you're talking about. It's just yuck factor, it's nothing. There's no... I believe the report also says significant setbacks from the Clyde.
Mm.
So that should address what Anthony's talking about. And what's this other creek that comes down from...
Abyssinia Creek's one of them, and there's
Abyssinia
another
Abyssinia Creek. There's significant setbacks. Mm. See, that Abyssinia Creek is a big setback. Mm. Well, I mean, it's just a red line.
There's a significant... There's a spoon drain right there.
So right, you've got to differentiate in your mind what's a... Let's say a drainage line, you'd never get anything anywhere if you weren't allowed to go across a drainage line. You wouldn't even be allowed to drive your car. You know, so it's just a well recognised thing worldwide. If there's going to be a problem, they would have found it in Europe.
Councillor Miller, then
on. Yeah, just the one.
And also, we shouldn't interfere with commercial. Sorry, a commercial. The commercial arrangements with Taswater and the Campbell family by delaying it.
Okay, well, you've had your turn, Councillor.
Yeah, sorry,
thanks, Mayor. Just a question to Louisa through the chair. You said that the farm owner said that they won't be spreading at 250 metres from the... is that in writing, or is any confirmation for that, like, just in case they decide you're going to do a bit more?
So the application document that they have provided includes this figure here, which is figure 5. This is application areas. So we are giving a permit to, well, if you are minded to, for them to apply in these red areas.
Okay.
And as Councillor Allwright has already said, that includes the minimum 250 buffer to the dwellings on Franklin Street, and also the water courses as well along here. They have applied a buffer area in their due diligence.
Alrighty, Councillor Bonner, and then I go back to Councillor Archer to close.
With the one that's been spread at the moment, there is a lot of smell with it. The people who live there have told me they won't complain because they'll probably get sick. But there is a lot of smell. And when they first started putting it on, they were told it was spread and it had to be ploughed in. But it hasn't. So I don't know whether that's a requirement or not.
Can you respond to that, please?
So the attenuation code doesn't apply to a residential dwelling on the property where it is being spread.
I'm just saying, like, very smell from, and I've smelled the trucks as they lead and it dribbles out on the road.
Well, Council hasn't received any complaints about odours, and we can only act on the information that we receive.
Okay, we'll go back to Councillor Archer to close.
Mayor, as I've said before, I'm generally in support of the proposal. Perhaps one option might be for our environmental officer to have a chat with the proponents and suggest that there's been some disquiet mentioned in terms of the distance from the watercourses, particularly on one of the properties, Pear Tree, where there's no exclusion zone along the creek there shown at all, and two of the other watercourses, there's no exclusion zone. It's only the major two watercourses with exclusion zones done, and also just a hope that there would be a responsive approach if odour becomes a problem to the proponents moving it further away on their farm and during those periods. So, I'd like to speak in support of the proposal, but suggest that our environmental officer have a chat with the proponent about those two major concerns.
So we're happy to lay that with the planner to organise. Yeah, council happy with that one. Alrighty, in saying that, I'll put the recommendation up. Moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried.
all, was it?
Yep,
lovely. So.
Very good. Okay, 5.3, the ordinary meeting to be resumed. And move it, please, Councillor Hall. And Councillor Honour. Any comment, Councillor Hall?
No.
Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Laws? No, that's carried. Very good. 6.1, health and wellbeing, Councillor Trippett. Move that. Seconder, please. Councillor Honour. Anything to say on that one, Councillor Trippett?
No.
Councillor Honour.
No.
Councillor Laws. All right, those in favour?
No.
Councillor Miller?
No, just the GP centre at Ouse. Did you have any more information on what's happening with that one?
No, it was fine.
Okay.
As soon as we know, you'll know. Rightio.
Thank you.
Would you like to close, Councillor Trippett? Yep. Alrighty, those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried. Very good. 6.2, monthly progress, no report received. 6.3, mover please. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Allwright. Morning, Kat. Community Development Officer. Moved by Councillor Cassidy. Would you like to speak to this, Councillor Cassidy?
No, just supportive of it, that's all. And I guess the brother too. That's the next one.
Okay. So you're moving both together, are you?
No, I'm not. Yeah, we'll just handle it separately.
Second is Councillor. All right. Are you moving both together, councillors?
No.
I would hate to confuse you. All righty, back to Councillor. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Allwright is the seconder.
So I would note that it's a retrospective application.
Very good. Councillors, any comments?
Which is fine, but yeah.
Alrighty, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that's carried. Recommendation, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Hall. Comments, Councillor Cassidy?
No, yes, supportive of it.
Councillor Hall?
Yes, I'm supporting you.
The meeting due to occur.
Councillor Hall?
It's already happened, hasn't it?
What's that?
No, I'm just making a comment there. So they must have got this a month ago. Oh, I might have missed the last meeting.
Alrighty. Councillors, any comments? No? Okay. Move to you to close, Councillor Cassidy.
Nothing there. Thank you.
Very good. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Are you in favour, Councillor Archer?
I can't see that.
Okay. I'm in his way.
Alrighty. 6.5, mover, Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Honour, I'd like to speak to this.
It's a well worthwhile donation to them. It's a really great weekend.
Alrighty, Councillor Cassidy.
I'm very supportive of it. I'm sorry that I missed the last one.
Okay, councillors, any comments? Councillor Meacham?
This is a great event and I'm really, really supportive. As I've spoken to it in the previous years, the great strength to this event is that it is a two-day event with an evening component. And so this year, I know that the local accommodation was booked out. There were complaints even from those attending that they had to go away to Deloraine to find accommodation. It's means a lot of patronage at the pub and the lodge. This is where, you know, with Bushfest, where I've urged that we put an evening event into Bushfest so that people have a reason to stay in Bothwell for both those days. Councillor Archer, in the previous year, you asked where does the funding actually go. The answer is, and I didn't appreciate this until I attended this year's event, is that they do pay for some specialists to come down from Victoria and they teach in relation to the Bodrum and to, forgive my Gaelic, Julian, I think it is, the Irish version of backflips. So they're bringing these specialists who give individual tuition to people on the use of the bottle and the ULM. It's a great event, and I also acknowledge that they are very active in seeking grants elsewhere. So the return on investment here for $2,000 for us is very, very good and good for the community.
Okay, thank you. Councillors, any comments? Back to Councillor Honor to close.
No, that's fine.
Those in favour, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that's carried. 644, 646, may I have a mover? You moving this?
Yeah.
Councillor Miller, Councillor. Oh, who was second? I think it was Councillor Honor. Councillor Miller?
Yes, I like this one, and I think we should. Give them the remission. The Ouse Community Country Club do a lot for the people around at Ouse. They've got a lot of activities and stuff that they do there, so I think that we need to help them along a bit and do what we can.
Yeah,
yes.
Councillor Olin the second, would you like to speak to it?
No, there's nothing more to add, thank you.
Alrighty, councillors, any comments? Councillor Cassidy?
Yeah, in a way, I think it's a good way to honour the late Tony Bailey, if I may say so. It seemed that this was his baby.
He was passionate about it, wasn't he?
Yes.
Alright, back to Councillor Miller to close.
No, that was fine, and I do want to Tony's baby for this.
I was just letting
you
know.
Yeah. Thank you.
The gentleman's already apologised, he'd have to leave early. Alrighty, so I'll put the motion up, those in favour of the recommendation. That's carried. Move the place. Councillor Honour. Second of Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, it seems to be moving along nicely.
Very good. Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, I read somewhere in there about money being spent. I think it's on the order of a couple thousand dollars. About we're talking about the website, is that right? So I think I recall seeing something in there about a couple thousand dollars being spent for SEO and all of that. If my fellow counselors don't know what that means, that's a search engine optimization. So when somebody puts in Bothwell, for example, maybe our council website would come right up at the top of the list of Google. As an example, or they might put in Central Highlands Municipality. Again, bang. Our website would come right up at the top of the list. So that's what search engine optimization is. I have to say that I think $2,000 allocation for that is a bit egregious. And why I say so is that my own website, I use search engine optimization. And I use a plugin for my administrator page. And it's free. It's all in one SEO. And you just go and you fiddle with it for a bit. And I'm right at the top of the list of Google, as a matter of fact. So otherwise, I guess I'm fairly supportive of all the hard work that's been done on our website. It really needs updating. But that's my only point is that I think that we should look at the expenses or the costing of this a little bit more closely.
Okay. Councillor Laws, Councillor Miller?
Just reading the ongoing cost. So that would give us ongoing costs with that $3,000 a year, am I right in looking at that? With the eight, sorry? Yeah. Okay.
You really should only be $885. That's my point.
Okay, so I'm just trying to find that. So what was your question again, Councillor Miller?
Sorry. Oh, no, I was just asking with that Councillor Cassidy was saying about the 2000, but we've also got the annual hosting updates and license renewal.
Which you have to
add to it. Yeah, you've got to have that.
85 is necessary.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know that. But yeah, it was just that it would end up as about 3,000. Mm. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, really, for having that, for what we'll get out of it, I think that's going to be okay.
Cost of doing business, though.
Mm, it is.
Right, any other councillor comments?
We've got to have fuel for our cars. How's Steve going to get to work? So we've got to pay the $2,000 for that.
Right, any other councillor comments? Any would you take me? That's not mine to close.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing to add, thank you.
Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? Councillor Cassidy is against.
I'm sorry, I just object to that. That's $2,000.
So that's against, is it, Councillor?
Yes, ma'am.
So raise your hands if you're for the motion. So you're against.
Yeah, well, just the actual motion is just to receive the information. Yeah. It's not actually. There's no requirement to
change.
It's just a change. It's just an update.
It's to accept the report. So those in favour.
Councillor Cassidy doesn't like the update.
Just a minute. No comments against councillors. Respect. So councillor Honour moved it. Councillor Cassidy seconded it. And those in favour of this recommendation to accept the report, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against?
I'm completely confused. I thought we were combining these motions.
No, we're a little bit ahead of you.
I thought I was confused this morning.
So those against was Councillor Cassidy. Are you against?
Oh, no, sorry.
See, we're all confused.
Everyone's going around the table. Okay, so against is Councillor Cassidy. I might go against it too, Councillor Driven. I've had a lot of thought about that. 6.8, recommendation, mover please.
This is a combined
one. This is a combined one, so we've got to have some work. We might suspend standing orders.
Oh, no, it will be away.
Well, all right, the pub's down here.
The
so
recommendation, who's the mover?
Suspend standing orders.
Suspend standing orders.
Yeah, I'll second that. That's fine.
Suspend standing orders, who was that?
Jimmer.
Councillor, all right. No, I'll second it. Second. Between me and John. David.
Yeah.
So, all right, Miller, is it?
Yep. I don't know very often second.
All right, all those in favour, please raise your hands. There's no one against? Are you raising your hands, Councillor Cassidy?
Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy, come to the table. Are you raising your hands for this?
Suspend standing orders, so we can talk about.
Okay, so that's carried. Rightio. Councillor Ora.
So, I mean, I've got no interest at all in stopping the Great Lake Community Centre having a first aid, but, I mean, this first aid, and David, I suggested it's going to be different for first aid up there than first aid at Postal for the ambulance. I don't understand the difference. I've missed something. Council's got a stump up money for this plus the one at Bothwell. Like, is there a way we can leverage one to the other? Obviously not.
Well, I don't know.
That was my point of matter, mate, just to get some discussion, get some understanding. So,
and like you said before, I think it's important it goes right across the Highlands.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Councillor. All right, Councillor Meacham.
I would favour us separately funding these events for a couple of reasons. Have a look at the details of the level of qualification involved, and have a look at also at the costs involved. So we're talking only $1,400 to train up to, what is it, up to
12 at Myena,
versus the Bothwell event, which in my mind is much more urgent. This is about quickly developing a base of people that hopefully can work as ambulance volunteers. And we're looking there at all up cost at least $4,000. So if we're going to do one approach covering all, we're going to be doubling the cost and delivering to the Myena recipients a level of training that they're not seeking. They are seeking...
No,
they have a look at the qualification involved. It is not the same as...
But wouldn't they just drop out at once they did a first aid module?
They're two completely different levels of knowledge imparted and skills imparted.
So first aid is different depending on who delivers it.
Who provides
the training.
No, Jim, this is about the registered training.
Hang on, we're not just talking across the table. Say your piece and then we'll go back.
This is about a registered training organisation, which is why in that earlier item, we've provided the cost from various providers, and it's very competitive, but it still is very, very expensive. You're talking about $300 plus per participant to deliver that. And so you can't have the Myena people coming in and at the second hour dropping out, because that's a different certified level of qualification.
Okay, so thank you.
Could be called something different then, couldn't it?
It is called something different. It's called advanced.
You said you please.
This is why we suspend the standing order.
Just a moment, Councillor.
For a conversation.
We've got councillors waiting to speak. Councillor Cassidy and Miller. Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, Jesus.
He's got nothing to do with it.
I suppose you may or may not know that I was an emergency medical technician. I was an army medic, ambulance driver.
Would you like to share
that? He was trying to read my eyes.
The point that I want to make is that we sitting around the table, we're not qualified to judge what training is or is not appropriate. I think what we need to do, as I suggested previously, is to defer this until we can get Tracy Torelli in here, perhaps get St. John's Ambulance in here, and they can sit down and they can talk with us and coach us and lead us by the nose to what training is appropriate, and then we decide to fund it. So I firmly agree that CPR training, first aid training is absolutely necessary, but I think the widest coverage that we can have across the municipality is better. But let's get the professionals in here to talk to us and tell us what
we need. So what you were saying before, Councillor, was you was going to have an amendment, wasn't you, Councillor Cassidy?
That was to defer the...
Can I have my statement?
Let me get the books right here. Councillor Cassidy, are you deferring an amendment to defer?
Yes.
Not sure where you go.
Yes. I strongly suggest that we defer this until we can get Tracy Torelli in here, perhaps St. John's Ambulance, or whoever we designate to present the training to us, and let them decide what training is appropriate, how much it's going to cost, and then we can decide on that day how much money council can afford to invest in this.
To an amended motion?
Yes, sir.
This is a deferred amended motion, isn't it?
Well, the thing being is that we've got to have a motion. We've got to have a seconder if we're going to, the motion is to defer. So we can't have the debate until we've had both of those. Right.
So, Councillor, are you moving a motion?
Yes, I will.
Can you give me an idea of
defer this until we get St. John's Ambulance or somebody else and Tracy Torelli into a council workshop.
That's good. Perfect. Absolutely.
Okay. That's why Councillor Cassidy. Do I have a seconder, please? We're in
suspended standing orders. So there's basically little or no rules.
Okay, so I've had a mover, Councillor Cassidy. Now I'm asking for a seconder.
I can't let the gallery see.
I think Damien may have some information.
Do you have some as a St John's man?
Yeah, while standing orders are suspended, several councillors are a little bit right in what they're saying. So that the and I speak at the moment as a St John Ambulance employee and casual first aid instructor. And can I mention that tomorrow night I'll be delivering a free defibrillation training session at the Bushwatt session at the...
Here at Hamilton?
Yes.
Next week.
You would have gone up.
One of these weeks.
Okay, can I just hear? Oh, this
week.
Damien, it's a red.
So, next week. It is possible, under some circumstances, for different levels of first aid training to be provided in the one session. The issue at the moment probably is that you're talking to two different providers. So the one provider is being recommended for Miami and a different provider is being recommended for Bothwell. But yes, it is possible, and I have sat in on courses where people leave after doing certain components of the course. I think the best thing to do would be to speak to the providers, probably settle on one provider, then it might be possible. But of course, you've got two different venues that you're talking about as well, and two different purposes. Personally, myself as a first aid trainer, I would like to see these people trained tomorrow, if possible, rather than.
So, if we need to train you, you'll do that?
I am not qualified to train at the level that you are requiring for these.
Did you second that, Councillor?
On tonight, there will, Matt.
Okay. No, right. Thank you, Damien, for that input. So we've got the deferral happening. Councillor Cassidy moved.
It hasn't been seconded.
Get this straight, we've got Councillor Cassidy has moved. Who seconded? Was that you, Councillor Hall?
No, I was not.
Did I have a second?
No.
No,
I'm so lost.
All right. So.
No, it's my
Don't fight over it, you'll get your chance. No. So the deferral was moved by Councillor Cassidy.
There's no seconder.
So that's lost. Yeah. Right, we're back on track again. Councillor Hall, you've had your hand up.
Councillor,
because I've been sitting on this for a while. The first aid by Hatch is great, because I've done it before. But I'm sure that they don't provide... What we're looking at with Bothwell, if you read it, is advanced first aid, which is totally different from your basic first aid. So that's... See, I'm not often wrong, but I'm right again. And that's the basics, and that's why I didn't like putting this one with the other one, because one is basic... The other one is the advanced, and it's totally different.
If we heard what John's person said, Damien, you can have both at the one time.
That's right.
I just want the councillors to know. I just wanted the councillors to realise that there's a difference between the basic, what you get for your CPR and everything else, to the advanced, and that's what we needed for Bothwell.
That's what Damien said. I've had Councillor Honor's name down and Councillor
Allwright.
Councillor
Honor, would
you?
The one for Myena is they support the paramedic who is up there.
No, it's not. So, for some background to that, but that has been raised by the community as a request to that. And so, going to the point that's been discussed about the same provider, so I got quotes from St John's to deliver this training. Mm-hmm. And the thing with St John's is that they require overnight accommodation there, so it was significantly more expensive. So, knowing that this other motion was coming today for the advanced first aid, that's why we got a quote from another provider, which is cheaper, which is why it does have two different training providers there. Yeah. But no, that's just a community group wanting local first aid training, and it's separate to that advanced first aid, which would that be the start of that training pathway towards the Bothwell ambulance.
Mm-hmm. I've got Councillor Hall, Major Miller, right, ready to speak.
Councillor Hall, Meacham, all right.
Thank you, Mayor. With the one at my end, all right, the one I'm talking about, the basic first aid training, why don't we centralise it?
That's
so it. The whole bang lot, the whole lot of the community can be first aid aware. Yeah.
Makes sense. Councillor Meacham, all right.
I welcome the advice from Mr. Bester to the extent that, you know, we can hold an event that satisfies that advanced first aid qualification and that the basic people can leave it at an earlier stage. I mean, obviously that's going to need some negotiation with the providers. I'm wary of not inflating the cost of what we're doing. I think the standalone event that Councillor Archer and I put up earlier in this agenda, I think that's the urgent one. I would very much, now in relation to this advice about seeking the advice of Tracy Turali, I talk to her on a regular basis. I haven't spoken to her in relation to this, but I think she would be useful in terms of promoting it into the Hatch community.
I think she'd be very useful.
Yeah, but it's not central to it. I see urgency about getting this done at Bothwell, and we can support Maina and other community attendants to that event. Lots of flyers out, not just notice in the digest, but put out flyers to local stores. Promote it very much.
It's a very good idea, but we need to share it across the whole of the Central Island.
I'm fine with that.
Councillor, all right, you're next.
So I'm assuming the community centre has a dozen people who want to do this, or
yep, we've got 10 people already.
10 people,
and we can
come up here. So come up here, please.
So the question is, do we open it up to everyone, or do we just have the event at Maina? So let's say I've been persuaded that the two different training systems, whether we can combine it at one level is another matter, but whether we get these 10 or a dozen done up there and then do another one at Bothwell or Roots or somewhere, or whether we just have one for 20. Like that's
it's really difficult because we can't pick and choose who we're going to give that to, and we're spending all the players' money.
Yeah, but so the question is, do we just do this to support the 1468, get those dozen out of the road?
You'll still need an amendment.
Sorry?
You'll still need an amendment to
the changes. So we can just go back to this. So we can pass the Bothwell one and pass this one individually, can't we?
All right, can I hear Councillor Hall and then Archer?
With the one that Anthony and David have passed, the ambulance officer training, like I said, we've already put it up. We're going to offer it out to free anyway. I think I might have mentioned that in the CWA, I think, bingo, and I said to him, this service is going to be Gratcho on the council.
Right, Councillor Archer.
I'd just like to support what Councillor Wright said, Mayor. I think they're two different events, both important, both worthy of support. I think we should very much support the Maina one that has been requested to run. Thanks very much. Rubber stamp. And then what David's proposing, let's get behind it. I don't think we need to have a talk fest with other people in that advise us, and let's just get the thing done and underway. I'm really concerned about the timeline. If we lose that ambulance, we won't get it back. Let's just get on with it. While we've got volunteers, let's have them and see if we can't persuade other community members to give them support by running these events.
All right, I'll go over to the GM where we are with this. What might be the best way to go?
Do you want to throw the balls up in the air? Because I'm not really sure. What we need to do now is if everyone's quite happy with the debate that they've had, my reading of it, if I'm right, is that we go back and we resume standing orders. We do this motion as a complete and utter separate motion to 1.111.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we go back to the original agenda.
We'll go back to the original.
Yeah.
So we'll do this one and go back. to the one that we deferred.
On this one being Myena.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
Okay, we do this one separate and then go back.
Yeah, so we need to resume standing orders.
Yes.
So Councillor Hall is moving to resume standing orders. Councillor Meacham is second.
Yes.
Okay. To resume standing orders. Those in favour, please raise your hands. So that's, are you in favour, Councillor Cassidy?
Yes.
Yes. That is carried. Rightio. So now we go back to...
I'll do 6.8 where
we are. Oh, here we are, 6.8, where it was moved by Councillor Hall, and I didn't get a seconder.
Oh, second.
Councillor Meacham. Council provide funding of $1,466 for up to 12 participants. Rightio. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
No, ma'am. I'm just going to leave it as it is.
As the second of Councillor Meacham?
Two separate events. I'm really supportive. Thank you.
Councillors, any comments?
No.
Okay. Back to you, Councillor Hall, to close.
Closing, ma'am, with no debate.
Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. All right. That was carried. It is point two, isn't it?
So do we go back to the other one?
Let's get 1.11.1. Let's get that out of the way.
Let's go to 11.1.
So the original, the...
What page is it?
1.11.1, isn't it?
Here we go.
The
page
original
13.
That was put it up was
what
Councillor
is the page Meacham,
Councillor Cassidy.
Where are we?
Page 13.
Here we go. Councillor Meacham and Councillor Cassidy, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Alrighty. Did I ask you to speak to it, Councillor Meacham?
Does that matter now? Am I free to talk again? To speak
that?
Again?
Yeah.
Just reinforce the point that what we're providing here is a different level. I accept the advice from now that we're back in formal session, I accept the advice that we had from Mr. Bester. However, I think the urgency of this one is to provide strictly the modules HLTA ID 014 provide advanced first aid.
Mm.
Thank you, Councillor Miller, for reinforcing that. And HLTA DO15 provide advanced resuscitation. Why? Because this equips people to immediately be engaged as ambulance volunteers. And my secondary point and my secondary consideration here is that also can be taken up by local job seekers. I'm not that convinced by what the South Central training crowd do. They only offer the most basic level, the fundamental first aid, which does no, gives you no great advantage in the workplace. So this training in relation to, you know, developing local tradies or people who want to work on the learning developments, it leaves us well placed for that. Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy, you're the second of the
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm bad enough.
Okay. Councillors, any comments? Councillor Wright.
Yeah, so cost for 10 trainees approximately $4,400
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's fine.
Councillor Archer?
Yes, Mayor, I'd like to speak in favour of this motion. I think anything we can do to expedite saving our ambulance as quickly as we can is a positive move, and this may encourage some people to go on and provide further assistance. I understand that there's some other people which were quietly lobbying in the background who may also become participants, so I think we need to be a bit fluid around the 10 trainees. It might be 7, it might be 12, but let's grab who we can. Thank you.
Alrighty, so back, any other councillors? No. Back to you, Councillor Meacham, to close.
Well, just a couple of quick points. One, when we discussed this earlier, Councillor Archer suggested he might have an interest. Well, it's not an interest, it's more about informed in relation to this need. And the last is that when it comes to filling the training spots, generally the providers look for a minimum crowd of 10.
Do they? Right.
Yeah, so if those final spots need to be filled with council employees, again, it's, you know, to our benefit, increasing our intellectual property, if you like, or intelligent knowledge base within the council. So I thoroughly commend the motion. Thank you.
All righty. So I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hands. All right, let's carry. Now where are we?
6.9.
Okay, the recommendation. Local running event. Merthyr Place. Councillor Allwright and Hall. Councillor Allwright, like to speak to it.
So, I think the running events are all very, very popular, and they attract a lot of attention, which is what we need up here. My only concern is the 3-hour closure of Ellendale Road and Dawson Road, and my suspicion is that the locals will get very sick of that very fast.
Yes.
And my experience with Targa is that they floated around and they blocked the road off earlier than what they said, and then they let it run over for 2 hours, and this affected us. We missed the bus to go, or put the kids on the bus to go to school, and lots of other issues. So the road closure part of it needs managing really quickly. And if someone hasn't got back from Repulse Road, this is my view, if someone hasn't got back by running out the Repulse boat ramp, and they haven't got back by the time it opens, well, bad luck, they've got to catch the bus. You know, like 3 hours, it looks okay, but that's from Ellendale Road right up to where it turns off to, how far is that, Shelley?
Yeah.
3 k's?
Yeah.
Close that Dunrobin Bridge, and then close the Dawson Road.
Mm.
That's what it amounts to. It's not closing a street where someone can go around another way, isn't it? Just, if someone in Ellendale wants to go to Ooze, they got to go all the way around. Way. And the locals got really sick of Targa really quickly.
Mm.
So it's just got. I think we should support it, but we've got to get. There might be a way that. Let's say Steve and just putting it back on here, or Jason might work with them, we've got to minimise the closure time.
But the thing being is that we've got plenty of time, it's 2027 that they're proposing it, but the simple fact is I have the same view that you do. Closing a road, yeah, it might be a good idea for safety reasons, but you know, there's also emergency reasons that someone might need to get in or out, and they've got to be managed damn sight better than just shutting the road.
Yeah, so that's my home opinion. See, Dunrobin Bridge is only one lane, you can't shut up.
No.
Councillor
Archer, then Cassidy.
Yeah, I like to draw parallels with that lane closure, Mayor, with the bike trip through Boswell, and we found it unbelievably inconvenient. There was no notice given to landowners, and so in addition to what Jim's suggesting with the road closure, I suggest that the affected landowners along the route need also to be consulted by the proponents.
Fair enough. Councillor Cassidy.
Well, I see this as also a tourism opportunity. I understand there's going to be about up to 600 participants, but let's say, for example, if 50 of them, just 50, just pick any number, decide they want to stay in the area and stay for meals or stay overnight, or, you know, that's still contributing to our economy. So I think anything that we can do for tourism and to promote tourism in the municipality is a good thing.
Yes.
So I'm generally supportive of this, but I do accept Jim's position on closing the roads. I think there's plenty of time in advance to work something out. Now, we have until 18th of April 2027.
Can we leave that in your capable hands?
Well, thanks very much for that.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about the road. So they have sought traffic management advice already, so I've been working with Jason around like how to get them in a position where they can get the advice that they need. So basically, that those 3 hours is based on the back of consult. I haven't put the name of the company in here because it's not yet, like, you know, commercial in confidence sort of thing, but they have sought professional advice, and that's where that 3 hours comes from. So the plan that they have at the moment is conditional on those 3 hours. So they would basically have to go to a different model for the event. So that's kind of where, and I think in the attachments that
has plan B, basically. Yeah. This wouldn't be on the roads at all. It wouldn't involve, you know, I guess, the glamorous landscapes that they're hoping to attract people to, like the Dunrobin Bridge. So that's just a bit of background information on that. But there has been, those questions have already been asked. Can it be whittled down? Can you have it park closed? Can you have rolling closures? And the answer is no at the moment, based on plan A.
Councillor Cassidy?
Please.
I'll put Councillor Cassidy's name down.
Am I the person that moved it?
No, it's Councillor Miller. Thank you. I'm saying again
on the closing of the road. I know that when Targa went through, I had to go out and pick up a patient from 14 Mile Road, top end. Now I said, and they closed the road, I couldn't go through. And they said, I said, what if it was an ambulance? No, we closed the road, that's it. So I had, this is what I got told, yeah. But I had, luckily, I could get through the 14 Mile Road and come back that way. But I think that some of these road closures, they pick the worst roads to do it. I don't like the idea of closing the road. I really don't.
No.
I mean, we could have probably short. I was thinking more of instead of closing the whole road off for 3 hours, just close a certain section at a time and whatever. But I'm not in agreement with closing of the road.
Okay, no. Do you want to comment on that, General Manager?
Look, the thing being is that what we need to do is work with opponents in regards to this. For them to come back to a workshop, or might be a couple of workshops with councillors to get us into a space where we're comfortable and where they know exactly where we think the rules are. If it is, as Councillor Miller says, close of a half an hour, so many participants go through space, another half an hour. You know, we've just got to work on what is the best interests for not only them, but for us as well and our community.
Councillor Meacham?
I support what Councillor Cassidy said in terms of it's a valuable addition to the attractions in Central Highland, and it helps boost the tourism employment. That's really the only significant growth sector of employment in this LGA at the moment. So thanks. And we are just, it's in principle support, and I do acknowledge those who are working to minimise the disruption to the local travel movement.
Yeah. Alrighty. Any other council comments? Right, go back to council, we'll have to close.
Yeah, so I think we should give him principle support. I do know a little bit about my son has run tours of from Tasmania to the Boston Marathon, the New York Marathon, all involved road closures. Everyone's correct. It can bring a lot of money and a lot of wealth, but it can annoy a lot of people. So we've got to get the balance right. And I think what Steve said is that we can get them to a workshop. So it's in principle support pending a workshop, something like that.
Okay.
Alright,
we'll leave that with you.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So we've got, 6, 7, 8 months, so if they don't want to make it happen, if they don't want to come to the workshop, they don't want to make it happen.
Alright, thank you, Councillor. Alright, it's closed. So those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alright, that's carried. 6.9, done. Thank you. 7 is the recurrent operations and services. 7.1, works and services. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour. Councillor Cooper. Okie dokie. Councillor Honour, would you like to talk to this?
Everything seems to be moving along at a steady pace. And they're doing a wonderful job.
Yes, they are. Very good. Councillor Trivette, did you want to speak?
No.
Councillor Laws, do you have anything to say? No. All righty.
back to Councillor Honour to close.
No, that's fine.
Okie doke. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Okay. Very good. 7.2, a mover, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
Yeah, Hollow Tree Road is in very, very good condition. And I sure would hate to see 3 months of log trucks tear up the road. They do have an alternative route that they have taken in the past, they could continue to take. And also, if we do bless this, I think that we should put a condition on them that they strictly adhere to the speed limit there where it says 80 and 50 and come down the hill toward Patrick Street at 50 if they're going to be bringing the trucks to the town, so they don't have to use their engine brake, but they're using their engine brake. I've seen the log trucks, even when they're empty, they use their engine brake. So I think that they should have consideration for the townsfolk that have residences all along there from basically the rec grounds to Patrick Street.
All righty, thank you. Councillor Honour.
Yeah, no, that would be one stipulation, that no exhaust brakes be used, and they shouldn't get up that much speed because they're coming out of Hollow Tree and they're going down and up and then you're at the rec ground, so.
Right, so are we saying a dot four about the exhaust brakes, or could we add that in, GM? What do you say?
I'll put it in there. I'll put it in as dot four.
We'll have a dot four for that, as councillor's happy with that.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Yep. How do we say that? No engine brakes allowed. Whatever. I'll leave that wording to you.
The major place where the roads get damaged, Mayor, is where they turn on the roads.
Oh,
Exactly, that's right, and there is a good access route through the other way, so just have to do the road.
Just as a matter of no interest whatsoever, but when you're going back to Boswell, just have a look. I think the sign's been pinched, the one where no log trucks on the Hollow Tree Road. I looked yesterday and I thought there's a sign here missing, but I looked on and I'll go over today. That's got nothing to do with this.
It's important to make that.
Councillor Miller, I've got your name.
I was going to go with the engine brakes, but would it be worthwhile putting a sign up just to say that the engine brakes?
There is one, but it's
very
small.
Maybe we need to.
Councillor Cassidy,
you've had your... I think, it should be more visible to the truck drivers.
Councillor Trivett, you had your hand up.
It is stated in one of the letters from Dwayne Kerrison that all drivers will be instructed not to use engine brakes.
Okay, so it's stated that in there anyway.
The time of day would be very useful to wake everyone up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, we'll get on a run through then, because it won't really affect a lot of people.
That's probably true.
I said no.
Thanks, Councillor.
So, I don't believe Council's got any interest in hindering commercial activity. They're saying that any defects have to be repaired. So we should pass it as it is.
Thank you. Any other Councillor comments before I go back to the mover? Councillor Cassidy, you're the mover. Would you like to close?
Oh, yeah. I'll make a quick comment before.
I didn't see your hand.
I did have a tiny little tiny hand. I'm just wondering, is that they've asked for a review after 3 months. I think really if we're going to have hassles with log trucks on those roads and things, it needs to be reviewed at the discretion of the general manager. So if the general manager gets complaints, then it'll be reviewed and may not be continued. And I think that, whether they have that as a condition or not, I'm not too sure, but I think we need to make that clear to the proponent.
Yeah. That's fine.
And I think our general manager travels that road a fair bit.
The road that I'm concerned about is the interior one. You know, when you turn off the Hollow Tree, that road there, you know, people going too fast, and you know what it's like. You know, we've all been there with log trucks.
You don't need to be travelling fast. It's when the truck comes out and it skews, that's where a problem's going to be.
That's still a council road, though, isn't it?
It is.
Then, yeah. So defect being the occur there as well. Jason's got a
All right, back to the clover council.
Yeah, so just for a clarification, Shelley had mentioned about Dwayne Kirsten's letter, and it says noise, all drivers will be instructed not to use engine brakes on any part of Hollow Tree Road or on Patrick Street, Bothwell, but what about William Street? You know, that's an extension of Hollow Tree. So I think that we need to be very, very clear that they should not use their engine brakes on Hollow Tree, William Street, Patrick Street.
Well, wouldn't it be from Weatherin to Patrick Street?
Say again, please. That's not what the thing reads.
From Weatherin to Patrick Street would cover any route.
Yeah, you know, the point is there's people that sleep actually during the daytime doing shift work, so I think, you know, these engine brakes are, you know, if they just do the damn speed limit, they probably wouldn't even use them.
Yeah, not quite correct. Even at 80 you might need them. Let's say someone crosses Fire Street.
Yeah.
So you have the 4 points now, 1, 2, 3, 4 points. And it was moved by Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy has just closed. So those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand.
Except the comment on part one there, where it's an ongoing review.
Yeah, no,
that's correct.
Right in front of the football ground, Robert.
Capital.
Right in front of the football ground, from there to the Patrick Street. That's where they can use engine brakes.
8.1. Councillor Honour has moved it. Seconded, please. Councillor Miller.
How much is that going to cost?
Alrighty. Councillor Honour, let's not move, please. I'm trying to hear. Sorry, Councillor, moved by Councillor Honour, seconded by Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour, would you like to speak to it?
Nothing to speak on. Very straightforward.
Just as a matter of interest, we're putting Zeeshan in as a person that should be our accountant, who should be going
through
this process.
Yes.
Good. I'll be a proxy.
Very good. Right. Okay. Councillor Ollie, you spoke as the mover. Councillor Miller, you're the seconder.
I agree with that. Zeeshan should be in there. So, that was a good, and it's fair. I think it'll be good for the.
We won't know what the cost is going to be until we've gone through this tender.
This is the first part of
All right, councillors, any comments? No? Okay. Back to you, Councillor Honour, to close.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand.
So that's not appointing, that's appointing Zeeshan, not the general manager. So
GM,
if we go for that,
I've changed it.
Not on this, Adam.
Not on yours, no.
Well, yeah, look, I'll change it.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
number nine, commercial
it's the wrong thing. You could end up in a meeting in Hobart, you know, for something you don't want.
Number 10 is 10.1, protecting local post offices across Tasmania. And I have a mover, Councillor Archer. Councillor Archer, would you like to speak to this?
I would, Mayor. The West Hobart Post Office is unable to negotiate reasonable terms with Australia Post, which I think is probably what's driven this Hobart City Council motion. The West Hobart Post Office is excellent in that you could turn up at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and send a letter, you could do your registered mail there. It was just a normal store, but with the post office function. I would really like to see that extended to the Bothwell Post Office. I understand that the licence may have been transferred recently to another provider, but I think that would be a terrific service for the Central Highlands to be able to do postal work of a weekend, including for disadvantaged people, banking in particular, would be a terrific service. So I think that not only should we support it, but we should actually be actively encouraging that extended hours for the local post office in our communities. I'm sure there's exactly the same same thing available at Ooze. If the store's open, they should be able to do their postal duties, and again at Myena.
The post office works up here on Saturdays.
Right, exactly. Right, really? So that's, you know, it's a really important service for people in Hobart. There is no post office now open for weekends in the whole city. Bad reduction in services. And so I'd like to not only support this motion, but also to encourage our post offices.
Can we hear Councillor Archer? You would like to support? No, Councillor Archer.
Yes, I would. Yeah, I'd very much like to support this, but also to suggest that we liaise with the post offices here to see what support we can provide them to keep these services open.
Alrighty, Councillor Miller.
Yes, I was about to say that the Ooze post office is open on a Saturday. Unfortunately, the Hamilton is only open from 8:30 to 3, as everybody knows, but that's because it's inside the cafe, and the cafe closes at 3. I think they're the only post office in Tasmania that does it. They're an agent, but it also goes on the cafe, when Gina had the cafe as well. So I don't know what we can do with that to help Gina out or to help the council out. I don't think we can either.
Okay, Councillors. Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, from a personal perspective, I use the post office on Bathurst Street quite regularly until it closed, and they were the sweetest people in there. I'd park in the simple car park and walk 5 minutes downhill with my parcels or whatever I had, and it closed, you know. And now I have to cut all that stuff, whatever I'm parcels or whatever, all the way down to GPO, or maybe I have to go to the post office in North Hobart. You know, this situation, they're, I think Australia Post is grossly inconveniencing people like myself. Mm. There's a lot of older people here in Tasmania who can't
walk very far.
I'm not speaking necessarily about myself, but I'm just saying in general. So, you know, Australia Post Office is not doing us any favors, and I think that we need to push back on against this effort to close post offices around Tasmania, especially in rural Tasmania.
Thank you. All right, other councillors? Any other councillors' comments? All righty, so I'll go back to Councillor Archer to close.
Yeah, I've said everything I needed to there. Thanks very much for your support.
All righty, so I'll put the recommendation up, made by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Miller. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Okay, that's carried. 10.2, mover please.
Well, before we do that, I think it's still correct. It's the local government accusations of Tasmania as opposed to association, but I think we should amend it to association.
Okay.
Well,
this is an amended
local government. Okay.
10.2.
Oh, yeah. Okay, a mover, please. Councillor Meacham and a seconder. Councillor Honour. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to it?
This is a really significant issue and it's got associated issues with it. The short stay in accommodation in particular and the whole growth of that industry distorts the whole accommodation market. And I think, you know, a $250 fee, if you like, is an entrance fee, and following that, very, very few requirements on what they do. I'm responding, as late as yesterday, a local hotelier was speaking with me and saying, how is it that these short-stay accommodations get a free run, absolute free run, after that $250? Relative to, you know, the regular hotels, lodges, etc., including the pub here, who have to meet a whole host of other regulatory requirements. And so doubling the entrance cost on this, to me, makes sense. And relatedly, I'd really like us to move on a differential rating system for short-stay accommodation. But that's not what's in consideration here. I commend this motion. Yeah.
Rightio. Councillor Honor, you're the seconder.
Yeah, no, I'm in full support of that. I've said it all the time that businesses like that should be paying more in rates and taxes than the normal everyday person.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy.
So I think perhaps a bigger issue on this is that the short stay accommodation is subtracting from the housing stock for rentals and so forth. And folks, they tend to make entire houses available for short stay and so forth. And I mean, we can't necessarily discourage any business, especially in our municipality, but I think the bigger issue, especially for, you know, Hobart and Launceston and the larger municipal areas, I think this is a real issue for them. For us, I don't know. I think that, you know, at some point in time, you know, we're going to have to look at rental opportunities or increasing rental opportunities so we can attract younger families here and workers here. But we actually need to have the stock, the housing stock first to achieve that. So
okay.
This is a complex issue here, actually.
Righty, any other councillors to speak? Councillor
Miller? I could be wrong, but I'm sure, didn't we speak about this short stay with the rates at the when we did our budget? I just had this feeling that maybe we talked about it before. I've known it's been discussed, but I can't think where. But
workshop somewhere.
Yeah, I think actually you're right. Yeah, I think it was a workshop we were discussing it.
I think so.
But I think it's something we need to do more than discuss.
All righty. Any other councillors' comments? Back to you, Councillor Majum, to close.
I endorse what you have to say, Robert. The evidence out of Hobart was when they established a differential rating system for short stays, there was a massive exodus from the market, and then people are left with, and I'm mindful of places like Maina, and I know this isn't the motion that's in front of us, but raising that entry cost for short stay accommodation, I think, is the beginning of the process that we could progress towards a differential rating system that then encourages people not to focus upon short stay but on long-term rentals.
Okay, thank you. So, Councillor Meacham has closed. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. All right, that's carried.
There'd be more motions than this come up, then, isn't there? Have you seen the agenda? Or?
Now, 11, consideration.
Can I just answer that question?
Okay.
The agenda motions close 35 days before.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So that's the 19th and 20th. So basically there's still a little bit of time, in fact probably tomorrow or the day after. So predominantly from that we're going to have a workshop to do with
motions. Yeah.
If it's likely it had been a week later, we might have been able to pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, that's closed, isn't it? Yep. All right, so that's a consideration of supplementary items to be on the agenda. So we close the meeting to the public now. I'll move it to close to the public, Councillor Hall and Councillor Honour. Any comments, Councillor Hall?
No, ma'am.
Councillor Honour?
Yeah.
Councillors? All right, those in favour to close the meeting to the public, please raise your hands. That's carried. Now we're going to
any community we're looking at, aren't we?
Closed at
16.
Alrighty, so we've reopened to the public at 1:18, and public release announcements. The chairperson announced that pursuant to regulation 1767 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, and having considered privacy and confidential issues, the Council authorised the release to the public of the following discussions, decisions, reports or documents relating to the closed meeting. Item number 2.1 was the confirmation of minutes of the closed session on the 16th of June. Those closed minutes be confirmed. 5.1 was Wildlife Reserve General Rate Exemption, and that the exemption be approved. 5.2 was the notice of motion by Councillor Archer, that was noted. And 6.1 was the Lutana Materials Recovery Facility Contract Review, and that was also noted. Rightio. So I thank you all for a good meeting, and it's 120.
120.
All righty. All done. Thank you.